much about.
I cry every day before I have to go to work because it's not what I want to be doing.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Soul train. Soul train. Da 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 da. Soul train. Soul train. Da 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 da.
Yeah, good point. Hadn't thought about it that way.
Now we have a lot more entertainment for you. Come on, so don't call it that yet.
And now.
Oh, how about that American football contest last evening? What an exciting match, huh?
Our feature presentation.
Maybe if we added Dick Clark to the broadcast booth.
There you go.
That'd be interesting,
that'd
right?
Be awesome.
good idea. I like that. I like Dick Clark in all the broadcast booths. Doing the UFC, hosting American Idol, make him do it all.
He would count down the top 10, you know, the final 10 seconds in each round in the UFC.
10. 14.
No, what are you talking about? That'd be awesome.
How are you, party people? Welcome in on a Monday, the 6th of February. Lisa, I was thinking about you last night.
Were you?
So when Weren't you've we got all? Well, yeah. When you've got a boyfriend who's from New England,
mm-hmm.
and the Patriots lose another Super Bowl, do you have to give him sex to cheer him up, or is there no sex because he's in such a bad mood?
Actually, what you do is you don't even watch the game with him.
Really?
That was my technique.
You just stayed away.
I stayed far
Stay
away.
Stay out of it.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Because it would have been potentially too dangerous for
well,
him.
You know, he might be suicidal. I don't know.
in which case, you're fine staying away.
Well, like what can I do?
I don't know. But I like that you're not willing to try. Look, if he's going to do it, what am I supposed to say?
Right, exactly. No, I had family in town, so I actually had to go to my mom's house yesterday to mm-hmm. see mm-hmm. an uncle I hadn't seen in years. And so I just didn't get back in time, actually.
So you didn't watch anywhere.
I would have watched, but I really just made a point to watch the halftime show. And my uncle, who's like 70 and from Oklahoma, kept saying, "Wow, that's really athletic of her."
Wow,
that was impressive.
Pretty athletic. She was doing one-arm push-ups.
Can't impress a 70-year-old.
Could not impress him at all.
Yeah.
I don't know. I felt like the halftime show was good.
Adequate?
But it didn't do anything. I mean, I thought it was a really good performance, and I liked those songs well enough, but it really didn't do anything for me. It's not like it's something I'm, you know, glad I saw or would have been sad if I missed now having seen it. It was fine.
Yeah, fine is
it wasn't
about
Weird Al.
It.
That's the problem. It wasn't Weird Al.
Well, nothing's Weird Al.
That's
Weird
the problem
Al.
With all halftime shows is the ones that aren't Weird Al aren't worth doing.
It was a little less than that for me. It was a little less than that. It was sort of just.
That's how I felt, too.
At best.
Yeah.
What could she have done differently? I mean, Madonna is famous for dancing and singing. Is it you just don't like those songs?
I don't know. I really don't know. It's just boring, and I didn't mm-hmm. care, and I didn't want to hear about it, and I didn't want to see it, and I just didn't care. It is Madonna. She really doesn't have anything new
right.
for us.
Right.
It's not like I'm going to watch and my head's going to explode.
But there, I mean, I did watch it, and there wasn't a moment where I would come in and go, "Hey, did you see her?"
Right.
Whatever.
Right. Except for when she almost fell.
I did see that.
That was awesome. That was the best. She almost fell.
I was glad to see that.
But
not that she would fall, but yeah.
Those LMFAO guys are certainly committed to those afros.
They sure are. They are not giving those up, I'll
They're
tell you
not
that.
At all. And then there was the game.
From the 49. Brady. Barring a defensive foul, the game ends here to the end zone. Hernandez is there. Tipped and batted. Gronkowski can't get it. Incomplete. And the New York Giants, given last rites by many in December, are the Super Bowl champs in February.
Think anyone's told Eli yet?
No, he's still just jumping around. He doesn't know why.
Do we have to play again next week, Coach?
You have any idea? Who do we play now?
I mean, the thing about sports, and we talk about this all the time, is it can so easily go either way. I mean, it's such a game of inches. I mean, if that, you know, they even said last night in the game, if that pass had been a foot higher, Gronkowski could have probably caught it.
By the
way, most miraculous Super Bowl finish ever. If he caught that ball.
If Gronkowski was healthy, he would have caught the ball that was thrown, I think.
Maybe so. Maybe so. No, and that final drive to have all those Patriots dropping balls on, you know, second and third down. I mean, it's like everything was going wrong in that last minute. But
yeah, they're used to handling balls there in New England.
Even with everything going wrong, though, they still had a chance to win it. It still could have gone just as easily the other way. Just an unbelievable finish. An unbelievable last, like, 3 minutes for what I thought otherwise was a fairly boring game.
So, Bean, you were talking about Lisa. What does she do if the Patriots lose? Imagine Bill Belichick. Today.
Oh my God.
I don't think he has any friends or family, so I don't think it really matters. When the Patriots aren't playing, don't you think he's just sitting in his fortress, just scowling?
He's in solitary confinement. Self-imposed solitary confinement.
Yeah, so that's why I think it doesn't really, I mean, he doesn't have to worry about, you know, interacting with other people because he's done. He's done with humanity until the next season, I think.
Can you just look at a guy like that? He's miserable when they're doing well.
I saw him, we all did, walking around the field before the game with the biggest scowl on his face. I mean, he just looked miserable to even be there.
Yeah.
No, he wouldn't even enjoy the excitement of, hey, we're in the Super Bowl. He was just miserable.
That's why, not only because they're from Boston, and Boston sucks, but I was rooting against him because I wanted to see Bill Belichick not be happy.
You wanted to see, like, some twitch on his face that you hadn't seen before?
Well, no.
Because how does Bill Belichick not happy look? That's different than Bill Belichick happy.
I don't know, but what I want to know, if they would have won the Super Bowl, he would have enjoyed it about the same. So, like, yes. Look, if you're not going to enjoy it, then let's let somebody else who will. But anyway, I was glad to see him. Glad to see him go. Glad to see the Giants win.
Yeah, well, I'm going to have a crappy week, so screw you.
Yes, you are. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
So boring.
What if I said the name Stana Katic?
That would be
not
better.
As boring.
What if I said that name?
That would be all right.
She's all right.
Female lead from Castle, of course. We're going to have her on the program today. It's a great show. We have, Grammy tickets to give away.
Oh,
every day this week, we're giving away Grammy tickets in the 7 o'clock hour. So
cool. These
are not tickets you can buy. You know, you go to Ticketmaster or whatever, you look up Grammys, they don't sell them.
Mm-hmm.
They give them away to the people in the music industry, and we're going to give them away to you, and you just have to act like you're in the music industry. That's all. Just don't give us away.
So be cool.
Yeah. So we got that coming up at in the 7 o'clock hour. We have Harvey Levin from TMZ.com.
Mm-hmm.
And from the NFL TV network, we have Andrew Siciliano talking about the big football game yesterday. That is coming up. We also have, in a minute, let's see here, in about a half hour, we have Chris Kyle, who has written a book called American Sniper, who's the best sniper in the United States military. And it's a pretty fascinating book. So we've got him as well. We will take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q.
Hey!
And it is 5:52.
Hey! No one has ever written a book that is more up Kevin's alley. We're going to talk to the guy next who is the all-time American sniper. He's got about 160 kills or something. But he didn't drop a bomb and kill a bunch of people at once. He kills them one at a time.
Wow. 160?
So he's your hero, Kevin. So how much of the book did you read?
I got to about chapter 8.
Wow.
For me, that's impressive. Yeah. I mean, that's a long, well, I say chapter 8. That's skipping a lot of pages. When I get to a boring part, like, you know, I was born, I start skipping.
Sure. Why read the man's story?
That's right.
Yeah.
I love that there's never been a book that has been more written specifically for Kevin, yet we still can't get him to read it.
Yeah. Hey, dude, I read a lot of it.
That is a lot for you.
For
me. I gotta be honest.
How many chapters are there?
30.
Well, then you read a lot of it. You read 8 out of 30.
20.
Nine chapters.
Anyway, we'll talk to a former Navy SEAL, Chris Kyle, coming up after the top of the hour. First, we're out this year with the that kind of SEAL with the Showbiz Beat.
Before I get to Showbiz news, I've got passes to give away to what looks to be, in my opinion, a very funny movie. Have you seen the trailer for Wanderlust?
Mm-mm.
New comedy starring Jennifer Aniston and Paul Rudd, Malin Ackerman. They play a young suburban couple who accidentally stumbles across a rural commune where free love is sort of the order of the day, and there's a lot of nudists, and it's just like a throwback hippie commune, and they end up stuck there, and the trailer, boy, makes me laugh hard. If you'd like to go to see Wanderlust, it's going to be in theaters everywhere on February the 24th. However, We've got special tickets for our K-Rock Advance screening on Thursday, February the 23rd, so you'll see it before anybody else. If you're cool. And you get through at 1-800-520-1067. The first two callers, let's be generous, let's make it three. First three callers to get through right now at that number, we'll get a pair of passes to see Wonderlust, starring Jennifer Aniston and Paul Rudd and that Malin Ackerman. Come on now with her.
Yeah, I'm with you.
She's a good deal.
She plays one of the nudist commune members. Showbiz news. Whitney Houston.
Dead?
No, not yet.
Oh, wow.
Seen canoodling with a former boyfriend, Ray J. Did you know Whitney and Ray J were together?
I did not.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
It was a long time ago. And apparently they're back together again. They've been off and on, inside sources say, for several years. And the last time they hooked up was back in 2010. But it looks like he's going back for a little more Whitney.
Shouldn't she be looking for somebody with money at this point? Isn't she broke?
Yeah, she absolutely should cash in on whatever looks she has left. Although Madonna seems to get the young fellas. I guess because she's rich.
But, yeah.
But she's looking every bit of her age now.
She is. She's not young and vital and hot.
I was saying last night at the halftime show, she dances now like a woman afraid to break a hip.
Yep, mm-hmm. Exactly. Just looks like she was afraid to fall.
Okay, I'm gonna turn me over now. Careful. Turning me over, and there, I'm on my feet. I'm lip syncing. Okay, now move slow, gentle. Calcium supplements or something is what Madonna needs. Kardashian.
Porn
star Kim Kardashian is telling friends that being a household name isn't all fun.
Poor baby.
Yeah.
Aww.
Sources tell TMZ.com that the stranger who popped up at her front door last weekend really gave her a scare, and now she's ready to move. She's apparently looking at a community with round-the-clock security and is checking out Paris Hilton and Charlie Sheen's neighborhood. Well, that would be the worst neighborhood in the world when she moves there, wouldn't it? It's a perfect storm. Katy Perry was at the Super Bowl festivities this weekend. She was hanging out with Cam Newton.
Really?
From the Carolina Panthers. It says here in the story, the South Carolina Panthers.
Yeah.
A big pregame party that was done for DirecTV. And then she dedicated a song to her parents' ideal son-in-law, Tim Tebow. She said that during the announcement, which I thought was pretty funny. Because, her parents would like her to hang out with him. It's Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Number one this weekend was Chronic What, Cole? Debuted $22 million it made. That's the story about the teenagers who get the superpowers.
Did you see it? I liked it.
I haven't had a chance. No, I was busy all weekend.
I liked it, but at the end you go, all right.
Really?
Yeah, it's kind of an unsatisfying ending.
Mm. Yeah?
Yeah.
Did the first-person video tape style of the film bother you at all?
Well, look, it did a little bit at the beginning because it was really... Look, if we're supposed to get the idea they're taking video, we understand that concept. We don't need you to move the video all over the place so that you're going, wow, I can't even watch
Michael
this.
J. Fox has been filming this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, even in real life, we know people shake cameras, but no one shakes cameras as much as they do in the movie.
Oh, my God.
But then it kind of settles down a little bit.
Woman in Black was number two with $21 million. The new Daniel Radcliffe film. The Gray with Liam Neeson was third, $9.5 million. Big Miracle.
Those whales are scared. They can't get out of their eyes.
It was fourth at the box office with $8.5 million. Underworld Awakening came in at number five. Then One for the Money, Red Tails, The Descendants, Man on a Ledge, and extremely loud and incredibly close. Running out the top ten at the box office this weekend. Casting news for Charlie Sheen's new TV series on the FX network, Anger Management.
Yes.
You looking forward to that, Ken?
No. Actually, I am sort of. I'd like to see him back on TV and see what he's doing.
Actress Selma Blair will be playing Charlie's therapist.
All right, now I'm in.
On the series. They've already announced that Shawnee Smith from Becker and the Saw films, she will be starring as Charlie's ex-wife in the TV version of the Adam Sandler, Jack Nicholson movie. So no premiere date has been set yet, but FX has committed to 10 episodes. So for sure, we're going to see it.
No way. Get real.
Yes. And there's a new drama, on ABC that's been announced called The Last Resort. Reportedly, it's going to be about the crew of the submarine, the USS Nevada, which declares independence and becomes a sovereign nation after taking over a fictional island.
Wow.
What?
But it's a drama?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Who's airing this?
Andre Brower will be starring. Wow. From Homicide, Life on the Street, and Men of a Certain Age. ABC, that series will be on.
How upset is Papa Roach going to be if they don't get the theme song job? Seriously, this freaking show is called The Last Resort.
Yes. Yeah.
They'd have to just be sitting by their phone going, please, please, we need the money.
And Sarah Chalk from Scrubs will have a new sitcom on ABC. Oh. They've announced How to Live with Your Parents for the Rest of Your Life. It's called.
Oh, man.
She will play a recently divorced single mom who moves in with her wacky mom and dad. So,
hijinks
stuff to look forward to this fall, boys and girls. Today's celebrity birthdays, actress Zsa Zsa Gabor is 95 years old today. Shockingly. She's still alive.
Let her go.
Well,
make her go.
Her husband's going to be our next mayor, so
that's true.
Be careful what you say. NBC News anchorman Tom Brokaw.
Tom Brokaw. I don't know all that.
Actor director Robert Townsend, 55 years old. Axl Rose of Guns N' Roses fame turns 50. It's a rough 50.
Yeah.
Rick Astley. Rick Astley! We got a Rickroll somebody earlier, later on today. He is 46 years old. TV personality Allison Hislip, our pal Allison, 31 years old. Actress Alice Eve, Alice Eve. From Entourage, and she's out of my league. She's 30 years old. And Chris Humphries, what's he best known
that
for?
Name?
New York Jets? New York Nets, rather? New Jersey Nets?
No. He got married recently.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. He got effed by porn star Kim Kardashian.
And you don't think I feel bad?
Not in the good way, Kim. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
If you have ever wanted to be at the Grammys in person, we can hook you up next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. 54th Annual Grammy Awards are happening Sunday night. Bruce Springsteen performing, Adele, Coldplay, Rihanna, Foo Fighters, Paul McCartney, Katy Perry. The list goes on and on and on. It is one of the great nights in television and in music. You can win those tickets coming up in about an hour from right now here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Kevin, I'm going to let you introduce your guest because I know you love him.
His name is Chris Kyle. He's an American sniper. The name of the book is American Sniper, the autobiography of the most lethal sniper in U.S. history.
It's badass right there is what that is. Chris, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. What's tougher, four back-to-back tours in Iraq as a Navy SEAL or sitting down to write an autobiography?
Writing the autobiography.
I'm not surprised.
What part of being a good sniper is just waiting for the right second, is crawling into position and just waiting and waiting and waiting?
Most of the job is just sitting there waiting. I mean, it's not as sexy as people might think it is.
Tell us about the first, I think it was your first kill, which when you were watching over a city. Basically what happens is Chris and his guys would go out a little bit ahead of the Marines or the Army, and they would get an overpost so that they could watch what's happening and kind of take some people out as the Marines were moving in.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about the woman with her girl, with her little child, because that was heartbreaking.
Yes, sir. It was, like you said, it was my first time, and I wasn't even a sniper yet. This was my very first deployment on the invasion. We had gotten into the city ahead of the Marines, trying to at least help them soften it up a little bit. It wasn't going to make it easy on them, but do what we could to help things out. As we were in there, the Marines started coming in the outskirts of the city. The townspeople saw them, started coming outside to show their support, and they were coming out to greet the Marines to say, look, y'all come on in, we're not going to fight. Well, there was a woman in the city that was doing the same thing, except she had pulled a grenade and she had already pulled the pin and was walking towards the Marines like she was going to greet them. And my chief, I was relaying to him everything I was watching and seeing, and he kept telling me, you know, you have to take her out. Well, I really didn't want to have to shoot a woman, so we tried radioing the Marines to let them take care of it themselves, but we couldn't raise the Marines. My chief was still hollering, you have to take the shot, you have to do it. So eventually she forced me to have to take the shot on her.
Talk about trial by fire. I mean, yeah. That's your first day as a sniper, essentially. Like you said, you're really basically just in training, and they put you in that kind of situation. Man, you weren't how do you even get prepared for something like that?
I don't think you really can. I mean, the whole time before that deployment, I was sitting there, and I remember even before getting on the plane, sitting there talking with my wife, going, wow, I don't know if I'm going to be able to actually kill someone. And then the first time you see it, it's not even a man, it's a woman. And
yeah.
But the whole, in my mind, it's always, the only way I can even justify it is because they're trying to, they're in the act of causing, excuse me, of causing violence on American troops or our allies or the civilians. So I
that's your job.
So if you don't take that shot, your guys get killed.
Yes, sir. Definitely. Yeah.
This is the voice of Chris Kyle, who is a former Navy SEAL, the most lethal sniper in U.S. history. His book is called American Sniper, available everywhere, including digitally and in bookstores. After 20 kills, 50 kills, 100 kills, is there any kind of a charge, or does it become almost routine, like you're actually playing a video game when you pull the trigger?
Well, there's no charge. You don't get off on killing people, and the only thing is, when you're up there, you just want to ensure everybody that's with you or on the ground or whatever makes it home. And if I'm out there doing my job, then I feel like I'm actually accomplishing something, and more guys are able to come home.
Mm-hmm. Now, by the way, Chris, for those of you who haven't read the book yet, was a Navy SEAL and then was not seeing enough action. He's a Navy SEAL. And he's like, you know, I could be going on a lot more runs. I could do a lot more. And that's when he turned to being a sniper.
Wow.
And then went back and joined the Polish Special Forces. And I did want to ask you about one part in your book where you mentioned the vodka. It's, it seems like the Polish guys have vodka that's made from the urine of a buffalo.
Oh, no.
No. It's I guess there's a blade of grass that they would put in this vodka. And that blade of grass was from this certain pasture that the buffaloes roam on, and supposedly the buffaloes urinated on that grass, and it gives some certain other powers or something to the vodka. I don't know, but it was good tasting vodka.
Chris, when you're acting as a sniper in the Navy SEALs, is it like the field goal kicker? Your special teams, they only bring you out for that job, or do you have to do all the other Navy SEAL stuff too, in addition to sniping?
Oh no, I was the point man, the navigator when we were in the vehicles. I had several jobs that I had to take care of, and that was one of the things that we always made fun of ourselves, saying, you know, we're a jack of all trades, master of none, because we'd always want more time practicing on the gun, getting prepared and getting ourselves ready, but you still had to work on all your land navigation and every other skill set that we were supposed to know.
You also talk in the book about how the enemy would be, you know, 500-600 yards away and think they're perfectly safe because it's such a distance, and that was nothing for you.
Yes, sir. Well, I mean, you got any military sniper and most military people at all, you know, 500 yards, you're going to be able to hit that any day. But, you know, you start getting over there and the weapon systems that these guys are generally using against us, they're not as accurate out to that distance. So we definitely have a hand up on them.
What was your longest shot that was a kill?
2,100 yards.
2,100 yards? What is that in feet or miles or...
But that's about a mile and a quarter.
Oh,
okay. You hit somebody at a mile and a quarter?
That's frightening.
Was it the person you were shooting at?
Yes, it was. I was in one village. He was in another. There was an American convoy coming into the village he was in, and he was up on the roof. The movement caught my eye. I started watching in more detail, trying to figure out what he was doing. He was trying to conceal himself from that convoy coming below him. And then I saw him raise his RPG, and he was going to try to ambush them. So I set up on him and figured out the calculation as far as the distance and then took my shot.
But even then, when he went down, you had to go, yes! Right, I mean, it was because it was a monumental shot.
Chris, accuracy aside, how far does a bullet travel? Even forget if you're trying to hit a target. I mean, if you just shot your gun, how far would it go?
Well, I'm trying to. That one was a 338, and it, I don't really know. I do know a British sniper just, well, not just, but here recently made a 2,700-yard shot with the same rifle. So
that's crazy.
If you shot at a perfectly 45-degree angle, it's going to go at least 3,000 yards.
That guy that you shot on the roof that day over a mile away, does he get hit with a bullet before he hears anything? Does he ever hear a shot? Does he ever have any idea the bullet's coming?
Oh, no. He'd definitely been hit before he heard the shot. And, in fact, when I shot, the recoil of the rifle, I had plenty of time to put that rifle back down, see him back in the scope before the bullet ever made it there.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
And he died a confused young man is what happened there. Chris, we are in our remaining moments here. Chris Kyle, the author of, again, the book called American Sniper, the autobiography of the most lethal sniper in U.S. history. You were doing so much good work protecting so many of our men and women. You had to feel so good about it. How did you know it was time to walk away and retire from being a Navy SEAL?
Well, I didn't retire because I did just shy of 11 years. But when my wife came to me and said, look, you're giving your all to the country and to the teams, it's time you become a father, because if you go back one more time, myself and the kids are moving back to my parents.
Understood. Yeah, and that's a tough problem that a lot of service people are facing, is how do you keep the home life going when you've got this other pull of going and doing your job. I understand where you're coming from. The book has been so well received. That must be so gratifying for you. And I know that you Navy SEALs are modest people and don't like to talk about what you've done. Have you had a lot of support from your other guys for writing the book, or people behind you on it?
Oh, definitely. I used a couple of the guys of my team guy buddies to help me write the book, and then I also turned it in to DOD and to the teams themselves to give it their one over to make sure that there wasn't anything in there they didn't approve of. But since then, I've definitely had some more of my guys come out and say, I was in the same spot you were in. I appreciate you writing this.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah, because, you know, the Navy SEAL code is most of us don't know what goes on over there with those guys. Most of us don't know when they come back from Iraq or Afghanistan and when they leave again. We don't know any of that because they're SEALs and they're not used to getting, you know, patted on the back.
Right.
Right.
Well, it's a fascinating story, Chris, and it goes without saying, but I'll say it anyway. We thank you for your service and the great work you did to protect the United States, and I wish you nothing but success with the book. It is called American Sniper, the autobiography of the most lethal sniper in U.S. history, and it is a great, great read. Thank you so much for the time today. We enjoyed it.
Well, thank you, sir, for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks. We appreciate it.
Stanek Haddock from the TV show Castle coming up here in a couple of minutes on the Kevin and Bean Show, and your chance at Grammy tickets on the way, too. So, obviously, Eli Manning, big winner, New York Giants, big winner. Here's another big winner you didn't hear about in the news last night after the Super Bowl. His name is Ben Lyons. He is a law student, Kevin, who put $1,000 down on a 50-to-1 prop bet.
Wow.
That the first score of the game would be a Giants score of a safety.
Which is a ridiculous guess.
Of course.
Why they give him the long odds.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing that it was only 50 to 1, isn't it? So he put $1,000 down on it, is $50,000 richer as a result of that Patriots error. One of the big losers from yesterday, of course, is our old friend Bill Belichick, who I'm very nervous about talking to him because he is not a happy guy even when he wins. And here, losing another Super Bowl, second in 4 years, in the final minute of the game to New York Giants, Bill cannot be feeling good today. But you're kind to come on the show with us anyway, Coach.
Mr. Belichick?
Yeah.
Sorry about what happened, but congratulations on an otherwise great season.
Okay.
It's going to be tough.
Take it hard.
Have you, you tell us what your thoughts are on what went wrong, Coach.
We lost.
Right. But I think what we're asking is, give us some insight as to why you lost, why you were able to be beaten.
We scored less points than they did.
Right, I know. I mean, we're all aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, what about the final drive? What about that? Do you think you would have had better success if your players hadn't dropped two of those passes?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
No elaboration, huh?
Pretty much.
Have you rethought the decision that you made to allow the Giants to score a touchdown rather than trying to hold them or try to just hold them to a field goal so then you'd only need a field goal to win? Would that have made it easier for you in the final minute of the game?
No.
Can you elaborate on that?
Sure.
Okay.
No regrets.
To us. No regrets.
Oh, okay. No regrets.
All right.
Mm-hmm. How's Tom Brady handling it? He seemed, he seemed gracious in defeat in the post-game interview, but have you spoken with him beyond that?
He's pretty.
Yes.
He is pretty.
He is pretty, but I think we were asking about his state of mind like we are yours. You know, it's got to be kind of devastating to get all the way there and have 13 wins and then lose.
Okay.
All right.
You say so.
Anything you want to say about the Giants or Coach Coughlin or Eli Manning?
They're a great team. Mm-hmm. They played a great game.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope they all get ass cancer.
There it is.
That's right there. Now, are you going to be hard to live with for the next 3 months or until you get started again?
For who?
Anyone. Wife, kids. I don't know if you have.
No, they think I'm. They think I'm a laugh riot.
I'm sorry. They think you're what?
A laugh riot.
They think you're a laugh riot.
That's right.
What gives them that impression?
Just naturally funny, I guess.
Well, Coach, geez, what do we say in a situation like this? But I'm sorry for your loss.
That's all you got?
Well, yeah, because we don't really care that much. We're not in Boston.
Sons of a bitch.
Ralph is in the studio, does not want any of us in here.
You can all leave. You can all leave. You are not needed here.
Does not want us to speak. Does not want us to ruin this relationship that he has, apparently.
I don't want you to upset my friend, Stana, because we have become very close, and I don't want to ruin that.
Does she know nice to her when she's on?
No, you're not nice enough.
Does she know this relationship has been budding like you're talking about?
I think she does.
You do.
I think she knows we're pals. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. This explain to people who haven't seen the show what it is, Ralph.
Castle, I think, is the most underappreciated show on television right now. You know why? Because it's not one of those flashy dramas that's all heavy and just gnashing of teeth. It's light, it's fun, but it's brilliantly written. The mysteries are fascinating. The characters are well developed. The acting is excellent. It's one of my favorite television shows right now on television. It's just so good.
Would you like the opportunity to talk to her?
If you could get the hell out of my way, yeah, I'd appreciate that.
I'd like that too, but Dave's in the other room trying to get her in. So it's not happening.
Do we have a little piece of audio for people who are Castle fans?
Yeah, we can play. Yeah.
There are two kinds of folks who sit around thinking about how to kill people. Psychopaths and mystery writers. I'm the kind that pays better. Who am I?
I'm Rick Castle.
Castle.
Castle. I really am rugged and handsome, aren't I?
Every writer needs inspiration, and I've found mine.
Detective Kate Beckett. 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 Nikki Heath.
The character he's basing on you.
And thanks to my friendship with the mayor, I get to be on her case.
I'd be happy to let you spank me.
And together we catch killers. Make a pretty good team, you know, like Starsky and Hutch, Turner and Hooch.
You do remind me a little of Hooch.
Aren't you a little conflicted, though, Ralph, because you have a crush on Nathan Fillion as well?
I love everyone on this show, you know, and Johnny Huertas is an old friend of mine. It's one of the best shows on TV. It's just so much fun every week to watch these two actors, especially Stana and Fillion, work together. It's just a great relationship and a great show.
Yeah, because she has to take it seriously, and he doesn't take anything seriously, and that drives her crazy.
But she doesn't either. She's got a great twinkle in her eye. It's so much fun. It's so well written. It's a show that it's just an enjoyable hour of television every week.
I do know that every day you come in and you say, guys, is Stana Katic on the show today? And we say, no, not today. And then you get all pissy. But today, finally, is the day that you're happy because you can say hello to your girlfriend on the phone right now, Ralph.
Good morning, Stana.
Hello. Good morning. How's my boyfriend doing?
I'm missing you. Oh, Kevin, shut up.
What?
Why aren't you here? Why aren't you here with us? Why are you on the phone?
Because I have to work this morning.
Whatever. Tell him to give you the day off. You're needed elsewhere.
How are you guys doing this morning?
We are doing very well. Thank you.
I'm just waiting to see what Ralph's next move is. I'm just sitting back. I've enjoyed this.
I'm looking forward to the show tonight, Stana. This is the 40s episode, right? This is the film noir homage?
It is. We find a journal by a PI from the 40s, and everyone kind of takes on a character from back in the day, and we had a lot of fun getting to dress up and explore that rhythm and that era.
Are you allowed to talk, or do you have to be a mime, like in The Artist?
No, we have voices in this one.
Okay. Right.
Do you get to sing at all in this episode? Because I know you're a singer, Stan. I was wondering when we get to see that on the show.
Yeah, not yet. My co-star, Tamala Jones, plays a torch singer in it, and they used her voice for that episode, and she did really just a gorgeous job of it and looked fantastic as well. I mean, like, all the boys did, and the girls, they did a great job in dressing everyone up, and we all had a lot of fun being able to play at those characters.
And you, Rob, have you seen the video of Santa with the 40s haircut and the big bright red lipstick?
Yes,
I mean,
yes,
she's all dolled up.
Yes,
it's
I
strong.
Have seen that.
Ralph has pictures all around his desk on the wall. It's a little worrying, I got to be honest.
It's got to be fun, though, when you're doing a series like this, to step outside the character you play and get to do something a little different.
Oh, yeah. You know, we've been playing these characters for 4 years now, thankfully. But it's always really great to go and explore a different version of character. And so, yeah, definitely. I mean, I got to play a gangster's mom. I mean, hello.
That's pretty strong.
It was like Casino, you know, but for Castle. So it was a lot of fun, yeah.
And so you and Fillion's character get to, explore your relationship a little more intensely than you do ordinarily on the show, right?
It's probably the best version of that relationship. I think that's why it was also fun to do, is because the best version of that love story happens on screen in this episode, without giving too much of it away. Yeah, it was quite nice.
Is there tap dancing?
Stop it, Kevin. Kevin's scared to death of tap dancing.
I'm asking questions about old movies. That's all. They all have tap dancing.
Stana, do you think, and you, I mean, you've always been very gracious with the fans, and I know you interact a lot online and when you get stopped on the street. Do you think that people want to see Castle and Becca together, or do you think they just love the sexual tension between the two of them?
I was talking to my co-star Seamus Dever and his wife Juliana, who did, who had like a fan meet and greet in Melbourne. And she was blown away. She said a couple of hundred people raised their hand. Yes, they wanted the characters to get together. And there was about four people that didn't. So I think most people do, actually. And I think, you know, it's a different kind of a show. We have a depth of character that you didn't necessarily get on other shows in the past that could help the show survive the two people getting together. I mean, things, relationships are really complicated in that first year.
Right.
And I think it'd be neat to see that play on screen. And I think that these two characters could they deserve it, you know? So it'd be a lot of fun to see it. But I'm of that opinion, and my co-star is not, so we'll see.
I think you're right. I think Castle could survive you two getting together a lot better than other relationships based shows, because you've got so much more going on. It's about the mysteries. It's about solving the crimes. It's not strictly based on the byplay and that tension between you two.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. I appreciate it. I will send you a box of cash.
Fantastic. My name is Kevin, so thank you.
While we're talking, quickly, thank you so much for the gift basket, by the way, Stana, that you sent. That was very lovely of you.
I had to, you know, like, I get, either I hear the radio show or I get, you know, crew members coming in and they say, geez, we've been listening to the Kevin and Bean show, and they're so nice to us, to the show, to the characters and stuff. And I thank you guys so much. It's so sweet, and I really, really appreciate it.
Anytime we talk about anyone from the cast, though, you know it's just we mean you. You know that, right? We go, oh, Nathan Fillion, yeah. Oh, he's great, yep.
Stana Katic, though, seriously. Stana Katic.
Thank you.
So just so you know, any mention.
No, your work this season particularly, the whole post-traumatic stress syndrome thing that you've been going through and that whole arc, I mean, just great, great work this season.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate that. I really enjoy playing this character, and anything we can do to broaden her and to kind of expand her world, I'm so grateful to be able to do it and be a part of it.
That's one of the great things about Castle, is that you guys have some very serious, heavy episodes, and then you have like an embarrassment of bitches 2 weeks ago, which was, you know, goofy fun at a dog show. It really runs the gamut.
It does, but I think it's nice to be able to play on both ends of that. You know, we kind of ride that interesting space of comedy and drama, and as actors, we get to explore both ends of it within that character. But I think it plays a little bit more true to life. You know, there's moments that are a bit more serious, and then there's moments that you take lightly, and I'm hoping that people are enjoying that difference in episodes from week to week.
Trying to walk that line of drama and comedy at the same time is a really tough line to walk, so props to your writers for being able to make that happen.
Yeah, there's a really good team back here, so yeah, definitely, I will pass that on.
Well, Castle is currently in season 4, Monday nights at 10 on ABC. Wow, it's a big night for you at the Garmin house. You got The Bachelor, Ralph, and then you go right into Castle?
I'm telling you.
It's quite an evening for you.
It's just me on the couch with a half a bottle of Jack Daniels and and a tissue box.
10 p.m.
Because I cry, because I get teary.
Sure,
yeah, sure, yeah. Exactly.
10 p.m. on ABC tonight and every Monday. Stana Kotic, always a pleasure to have you on the show. Thanks so much for joining us again.
Thank you, guys. Have a really great morning. Cheers.
Thanks. Bye.
And the South 405 is busy now from Sherman Way in the Valley down to about Getty Center Drive.
Dive.
Yep. February is now February. All month long, any regular footlong sub is a $5 footlong sub starting at 7 a.m.
February.
Okay.
From the fan favorite Italian BMT to the chicken and bacon ranch, join the celebration at Subway. Subway, eat fresh. See store for details.
Yep.
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Yep. Thank you, Lisa.
Any Tober wasn't enough for them. Now they had to go to February.
That ain't easy.
I can't wait for many Arch and many Prol.
I am shocked, Ralph, that you are still here. I figured after Stana got off the phone, you'd just get your car and drive home, because what's the point of second round for the rest of today's campaign show? It's all downhill from here.
Why does she love me so much?
I don't know. It's clear, though.
It's obvious. Yeah, it's obvious that she carries a torch.
It's almost embarrassing.
Yeah, well, you know.
What are you going to do?
Look, you can't fight chemistry. That's what they always say.
That's true.
And we've just got it.
Tickets you can win to be
whatever tickets
in the audience at the Grammys coming up between 7 and 8 every day this week on the Kevin and Bean Show. And that means next hour, too. Right now, Ralph's got the show. Busy. What's going on?
I just love her. I just love her so much, that's all.
Yep.
It's Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Chronicle, number one, $22 million. Made it the number one slot in this weekend's box office bonanza. The Woman in Black was number two, $21 million. The Gray, Big Miracle, and Underworld Awakening was the top five. Then One for the Money at number six, Red Tails, The Descendants, Man on a Ledge, and Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close. We're rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. All right, it was no boob, but still, MIA flipping her middle finger during the halftime show. The Super Bowl is causing ripples.
Oh, it was outrageous.
Throughout America.
Outrageous.
People upset that MIA gave the finger. They're very offended by the finger that was given. NBC's apologizing already. They're falling over themselves apologizing.
I was wondering how offensive in 2012 the finger is.
Very.
Is there anyone who hasn't seen it or used it or hasn't survived
my
it?
My children were watching. Okay? They don't need to be subjected to that. Okay?
As a serious question, isn't it kind of gone the way of damn at this point where it's just kind of a thing that's out there that doesn't really offend anyone anymore?
You would think.
Maybe you, with your lamestream media left-wing intellectual attitudes. But some people in America still care about values, okay, Bean?
Okay, but she didn't burn a Bible, okay?
Oh,
she just flipped off
next.
The camera.
It's a slippery slope.
That's right. You let the flip go.
You know what I was offended by? L-U-V, Madonna. Y-O-U, Yawana.
Yeah.
That's much more offensive to me than anything they could have done on stage.
Yeah, that was...
That lyric.
Wasn't good. And that lyric is stupid.
And that whole cheerleader thing, A, seemed wildly inappropriate for a senior citizen, and B, seemed so 15 years ago Gwen Stefani, didn't it?
Gwen Stefani, Tony Basil was sitting at home going, wait a minute, I did Mickey, You're So Fine, that's my shtick.
It was hardly cutting edge is what I'm saying.
Anyway, people upset because the middle finger was flipped. And while we're talking about flipping and whipping, more importantly, have you seen Willow Smith?
No.
She shaved her head.
Oh, yeah.
What's she supposed to whip?
That's what I'm thinking. How's she going to whip her hair back and forth with no hair?
Why'd she shave her head?
Oh, who cares? She's just desperate for attention because daddy hasn't given her a single to record this week. By the way, with her head shaved, looks exactly like a young Will Smith. It was not a good move on her part.
Uh-oh.
She looks totally dude.
Oh, no.
Totally like a dude.
No more, huh?
Yeah, she can't whip her hair in the background. She's just got a buzz cut.
She's had it with that life. She's got to move on.
That's right. She's evolving as an artist, Kevin.
Right.
Her next,
don't try to put her in a box.
Her next single will be, I wax my head back and forth. She's just here polishing her head since she shaved it. And Demi Moore is in a treatment facility. It has been announced. Wait a minute. I just thought she was exhausted. Wait a minute. What happened?
She's in the hospital because she was
tired.
Exhaustion. Yeah.
No, apparently she has checked herself into the Cirque Lodge, very popular celebrity rehab in Utah. She's on total lockdown, says a source. She's only talking to a small group of people. Apparently she is undergoing rehabilitation for addiction and also an eating disorder.
No kidding. Finally. I'm glad she's addressing that.
Yeah, so more than just exhausted. Who could have guessed?
Hmm.
When her representative said she was just exhausted, I thought they were telling us the truth. If you can't count on PR people anymore, who can you count
That's
on?
That's true. That is true.
L-U-V Madonna. Shut up. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Zsa Zsa Gabor is 95 years old today. NBC News anchorman Tom Brokaw celebrates his 72nd birthday. I wish he was still on the television.
He is. He's still on the TV.
Wish he was still
Where
alive.
Is he? Where's he on television?
Well, you'll see him on the Today Show occasionally, but he's a fairly regular contributor to that Rock Center with Brian Williams on Wednesday nights. And he still does great work.
Occasionally, I'll be on Rock Center.
I love Tom Brokaw.
Well, Ryan Williams.
Of course you do.
I don't come on it. A special reporter. Well, me, I'm Brokaw.
Robert Townsend, actor and director, is 55 years old today. Axl Rose turns 50. Allison Hayslip is 31 years old. Alice Eve, the very beautiful and talented actress, is 30. Chris Humphries, former husband of porn star Kim Kardashian, is 27 years old.
You don't think I feel bad?
Not bad enough. Mm. And Rick Astley is 46 today.
Rick Astley.
Rick!
We've known each other for so long. Yeah. Your heart's been aching, but you're too shy to say it.
Sing it, Rick.
I don't. Phone book know what's been going on.
What a good song that is, huh? Brings back memories.
That sounds
good.
Sad. He's lost his step.
I can't believe we liked that at the time.
Is
wow.
He, what's he on the country fair circuit these days?
I don't know.
Singing out by a pig pen. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it's 8 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Our friend Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network joins us later on. We'll be talking more about the Super Bowl and everything that goes along with that. Plus, later this hour, a pair of tickets to the 54th Annual Grammy Awards. It's happening Sunday at Staples Center. By the way, it's been a while, a couple of weeks now, since Lisa last rapped.
That's
so
true.
I don't know about you, but I am ready for it.
Yeah.
As am I.
Well,
am ready for it.
Yeah, I've been dying to do it again because I am amazing.
You are. That's true.
Hey, you were born in Inglewood, man. You can't help it. You can't stop the flow. First, though, Kevin, you're going to tell us about the unluckiest little boy in the world.
I love it. I love this so much. There's a name of a, what is it? What do you call it? A contest? What do they do with a...
A lottery?
Thank you. Lottery.
Lisa, goddamn you!
Thank you.
Seriously, how many times do we have to tell you?
In the eyes.
Don't throw him anything to get him out of the water when he's drowning.
Right,
stop it.
All right, take it easy.
I'm sitting here so delighted.
We could sit here for 5 minutes.
I'm sitting here so happy with the moment of Kevin not being able to come up with the word lottery when it's written on the piece of paper in front of him, and you went and helped
him. He's looking at me, clicking his finger. I feel bad.
That's why I go to you, because you're the only kind one in here.
All right, then you have to wave me off. And remind me, Muggs.
It's
called, wave me off.
It's called All right. El Gordo is the name of it. The fat one. That's what they call it. And it's a giant lottery. There was a town in Spain. They got together and they all collected money and they bought the lottery ticket and they won it. It's $750 million. Well, I'm sorry. Did I say all? I meant all but one guy. Everybody, super poor town area.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else got at least $130,000.
Oh, man.
And this one dude gets nothing.
Ha ha! How did that happen?
Well, I find it hard to believe that it was just an accident. It sounds like if they went out of their way to get every single person in the town.
They hate this
they
guy.
They hated this
oh,
guy.
Oh,
this guy
that
was
makes
an
it
a-hole.
So much worse.
Yeah. So there's no possible way that that guy could be having a worse time right now.
Oh, man.
Because everybody else won the lottery and he didn't. So we thought we would take some calls on missed opportunities. You came really, really, really close. And then, nope, not so much for you.
You had the chance to get on the ground floor and didn't take it. And therefore, you will regret it for the rest of your life. This guy with the lottery ticket, though, he had to know other people who were buying into the lottery. It's not just that they didn't come to him and there was no... If every single person in town is putting in money for this lottery, he had to also know people that were putting in money for the lottery.
I agree. No one likes him.
Maybe that's what it is. And if you're in a small village in Spain and every neighbor is getting a check for $130,000 and you're sitting around just twiddling your thumbs, that has got to hurt.
That's brutal.
That's not good.
So missed opportunities, that's what we're looking for. You had the opportunity to maybe strike it rich or do something spectacular, and you blew it. 1-800-520-1067. Who's intern Mark? Why don't I know who this is? Is he the guy with the mustache?
Intern mustache,
yeah.
Yes,
that's me.
Uh-huh, that's him.
Hi, Mark. What's going on, man? Talking to the microphone. What happened?
What's going on? So several years ago, my uncle, he was playing the lottery. He's been playing the same numbers for years, you know, every week. He's always buying the same numbers. He's on a date. This girl, he needs to go buy his lottery ticket.
Mm-hmm.
She tells him, just stay around for a little bit. Well, eventually, he stays, but eventually he gets out. He gets his ticket. Same numbers, bam, they call him. All the numbers, the same numbers he's been playing, they call.
Oh, my God.
He goes into work the next day. He's like, woohoo! You know, I won the lotto. I won the lotto. Just to be like, I quit. I'm done with this job. You know, I'm done with this.
F you.
Pretty
<You're>
much.
Cool.
Yeah.
F you, I'm out.
So he goes. Eventually, one of his coworkers comes. They're like, hey, can I look at your ticket? And they look at it, and it was like, they look at the time, and it was like, hey, your ticket's off by about a minute, 2 minutes. These are for the next lottery drawing.
No.
And he's looking, he's double checking. He's like, oh, come on.
So wait, so he did the same numbers every time.
Every time.
But he missed the window for this particular time.
By minutes.
When those numbers won.
Yes, by
so
minutes.
So in other words, they closed the betting for that one day. He bought tickets like a minute later.
Right.
And they were for the following day, so he missed out.
He did.
Oh, my God.
Awesome.
How much would he have won?
I don't know. Millions of dollars.
That would just be heartbreaking.
That would be.
You really wouldn't be able to believe it, especially if he plays the same numbers every time.
Right. Yeah.
God.
So.
What a pretty loser. Mark, your K-Rock debut went very well. Thank you very much for sharing that story. I'm going to tell you guys a story that isn't about me. Gosh, I hope it's okay to tell this story on the air. I think it's fairly well known. The story about Stryker and the TV show he could have been on, Kevin, you think that one's okay to tell?
Yeah, I imagine.
I mean, it's been a few years now. He has to have gotten over it. Stryker, who, as you know, is on afternoons here at K-Rock, is an awesome dude. And he does a fair amount of television, too. He does some hosting and whatnot. He's really, really, really good on the radio and really, really good on television. He had the opportunity about 10 years ago or so and was offered a job hosting a new reality show. And it was called American Idol.
Oh, no.
And he went to Mr. Weatherby, our boss, and he said, I've got this opportunity to host this show. It's called American Idol. And kids come in. It's like a karaoke show, but kids come in and they sing songs. And then we pick a winner at the end of the season. And Mr. Weatherby, in all of his greatness and genius, said, I don't really think that sounds like a winner. I don't think that's a good idea. It sounds kind of cheesy. Doesn't sound like the kind of show that really is reflective of what we're doing here at K-Rock. I think it'd probably be best if you passed on that. It's not going to do anything. It's just going to be embarrassing. It's going to be on TV. No one's going to like it. And then you're going to look bad with the stench of failure on you. So he said, all right, I think it could be cool. But if you say so, I won't take it. Well, that's how the world got Ryan Seacrest, ladies and gentlemen, because Ryan Seacrest
Damn
was instead
it.
Hired instead of Ted. And what must it be like for poor Ted Stryker as it's now in its, what, 11th season or something like that? The biggest show on television for the last 11 years.
That's why we've always said lower your standards. Take anything.
Yeah, well, maybe
advice.
So.
Yeah.
Just do it.
But, I mean, look, and he seems fine. He doesn't seem bitter. I mean, I don't think I'd ever get over, hey, I turned down American Idol. I could be the host of that show right now, and I could have spared the world from Seacrest. I don't think I'd ever get over that. He seems to have handled it pretty well.
Yeah, he does. That's true.
But, I mean, is that a missed opportunity or what?
Just a bit, yeah. I was in Las Vegas. I have a real quick story. I was playing slots, and there was a woman looking over my shoulder the whole time, and it made me mad because I guess this was her machine.
Oh.
So I was playing slots, and I kept putting in $3, and I pulled in $3, pulled it, and then I ran out of money. I was trying to stay there as long as I could because she was being an a-hole about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I finally ran out of money, and I stepped away. She stepped up, put in $3. On the very next pull, hit $10,000.
Yeah!
Very next pull. The very
That's
next
fantastic.
One.
Fantastic.
And then I just stood there while they brought out the wee, wee, wee alarms. Security comes out. They take photos of a giant check. They take photos of her.
Oh, man.
So that happened.
Yeah.
Good
times.
Let's take one call before the break. Let's make it Matt. See what he's got going on line 2. 1-800-520-1067. You were so close, but it turned into a missed opportunity. That's the topic here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Matt, what happened to you, dude?
Well, my family basically could have had all of Burger King for the Eastern Seaboard.
Your family could have owned all of them?
The licensing rights. My dad owned a small meatpacking company in Florida. And basically when the guy was getting started in America, he had a hard time paying his bills. So in exchange for a past due on one of their orders, he offered my dad the licensing rights for Burger King for the entire Eastern Seaboard, and my dad turned it down.
Wow. Because who knew that Burger King was going to catch on, right?
For basically $3,500.
Wow. I mean, at the time, this was just another guy starting another hamburger restaurant, and there had already been a million of them, so he didn't know it was going to turn into such a huge deal, right? What did he ever figure out what it would have been worth?
No. Oh, my God. That's the one. My dad passed away in 95, but he always brought that up. Like, don't turn anyone down. I mean, it's kind of funny. Like, our whole family runs their businesses now with, like, take care of every customer. You never know who they could be. It's like the family's mantra now.
I got news for you, Matt. Too late.
Guys, real quick.
Yeah.
I just want to say thank you. You guys, I'm the guy that got his ear bitten off on Valentine's Day.
Oh, sweet.
And you got me into the singles party, and I just got married to the girl I met there.
What? Look at that. What kind of a story is that? That's amazing. Wow.
And I just want to say thank you, guys. Even a guy with one ear can make it.
Yeah.
Very cool, Matt.
Thank you. See, someone in your family knows how to make the right decision. Well done. That's great.
All right. 800-520-1067 is the number. We'll take a break and come.
Talking about missed opportunities here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You were in the right place at the right time, yet still didn't pull the trigger, and it's a decision that you can't believe you passed up on. Hey, nobody's mentioned Pete Best, but maybe that's the all-time greatest missed opportunities. Hey, I was the drummer for a little band called The Beatles, and then I got fired, and then look what happened. Right?
But at least fired. At least it wasn't, just decided to quit.
True.
Right, exactly. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. We got some great calls. Let's see how many we can get on here. Let's start with Dave. He's on line six. You know, it's funny, like we were talking about the story that that prompted us to begin this topic was the guy who missed out on the lottery, the big lottery payday in Spain. A lot of them involve money. And I think, Dave, you've got some money that you did not get, right?
I did, sir.
What happened?
My wife's aunt decided, oh, hey, Google stock's going public in a month. I will buy you guys shares. My wife and I said, sounds too grown up for us, and said, no thanks.
No thanks.
How much was she going to buy you, and what would it be worth today if she had?
I don't know how many shares she would have bought for us, probably at least 10. I think it went public at 80. This morning it was $606.
Yeah, you shouldn't figure that out.
Nice.
Take your own
life. Best to not know, I think.
Yeah.
Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Adam writes in from Long Beach. Dear Kevin and Bean, I can't believe my mother did this, but a couple weeks before the release of the first edition of Windows, my uncle advised her to sell her several thousand shares of Microsoft stocks. We would be millionaires right now if we held on to them. Later in the 90s, when Apple shares were about 60 cents a share, the same uncle advised my mom to divest herself of all of her Apple stock in order to at least get some money. Again, millionaires. Keep up the good work, says Adam in Long Beach. Two opportunities. You had stock and you sold it right before it shot to the top. How about that?
God. That hurts. All right, let's go to David on line one. Hi, David.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What happened?
Pizza May.
Hi.
Well, it's not me, but it was my mom. When she was living back in New York just after graduating from nursing school, she was working long hours, and she had this dream about which numbers to pick for the lottery. I can't remember the first four numbers she told me, but the last number, she picked 17, and the actual number she was supposed to pick was a 19.
So she had everything but one number?
Wait, she had all the other numbers right because of the dream?
Yep.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
How about that?
Huh. Although not
played the key to winning the lottery.
I don't know whether that's good news or bad news for you. I mean, if you get a dream like that, I don't know if you're glad you had it or not.
Well, she still seems kind of bitter about it.
Sure.
She doesn't really like going for the lottery unless she has a dream about it.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call, David. Let's try Alyssa, line four. Alyssa, thank you for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened?
Hi, good morning. My parents used to live over by the acid tar pits in Riverside.
Mm-hmm.
A long time ago, they did a study on the people who lived over there. They told them, we'll do a study about you if you'll let us. Well, my parents said, no, we're not going to do the study. My parents' parents said, no, we're not going to do it. The people who did do it ended up getting, like, millions of dollars in settlement money.
Is that right?
Yeah, my dad still is mad about it to this day.
If we bring it up,
he's like, no, don't even talk about
it. Mad at himself, of course.
Of course.
Yeah.
I don't follow. How does participating in a study get you millions of dollars?
Because it's the acid tar pits, and a long time ago, they didn't realize it was doing bad stuff to the water, and to their bodies. So when they did the study on them, they realized, like, oh, crap, we've been doing this to these people, and now they're going to sue us because they know what's going on.
Oh, gotcha. It was because
of
the test.
So they ended up
getting
money to kind of keep quiet.
Sweet. That's fantastic. Hey, they could poison me for that kind of money. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Here's one from the Kevin and Bean Facebook page. Melissa writes in, when my sister and I were young, we looked like twins. One time at a restaurant, a talent agent for Disney came up to my mom telling her that Disney wanted to do a show with twins and asked if we were interested. Unfortunately, my sister and I are actually 2 years apart. My mom is a bad liar. If she had only stuck with the story, I could have been more famous than the Olsen twins. I remind her of that all the time. Yeah, for all those TV shows with kids, they're all twins, which is so funny. Like, if you saw the SAG Awards with Boardwalk Empire, where they brought up the little boy and the little girl, you know, that Steve Buscemi was looking after, it was so funny to see two of each. It was just crazy. All right, let's close with Devra. This may be the big money mistake of all time. Devra, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened?
Hi, guys. Hi, beautiful Lisa Mae.
Hello.
Well, I'm from New York. Good Giants in your face, Tommy. I lived in Soho, and I had a four-story walk-up, and in front of my building every day was Keith Haring, which is a very famous artist who's now passed on, God rest his soul. Mm-hmm. And I could have bought a Dancing Baby painting, original from him, for $50.
Okay.
Recently. It went for $200
million.
Oh! Whoa. So you could have bought
it. I didn't buy it because I was late for work, and I didn't want to walk up four flights of stairs. Every day I'm like, I'm going to get it. I am totally going to buy it. But I just didn't make the time.
Oh,
so you could have bought it personally, a Keith Haring original from Keith Haring back in the day, and hung
it.
Oh my! And now
he was a sweetheart.
Unbelievable! Now, of course, he's got that store in New York where they sell, you know, copies of those pictures. You know, for the rest of time, they're so popular. That's unbelievable.
Yes, I kill, and I'm an art teacher. Shout out to Chavez High School.
a lot of shout outs going on here, Deborah.
Wait, do they want to claim you? Do they want to claim you after that story?
Yeah, they still love me.
All right. That's fantastic. Thank you very much for the call.
Never by one. If I got them a painting.
Okay. Thank you. Congratulations on your Giants.
Thank you.
The 54th annual Grammy Awards are happening Sunday night in Los Angeles. You can be there in person. You can also go to the pre-Grammy party, which is Friday, by the way, with the band Bush. We're going to give you a chance to win them right now at 1-800-520-1067. Kanye West. I was very disappointed, by the way, because as much as I love that, what's it called, My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy,
did not get
an Album of the Year nomination, which I think was retarded. I really do.
I mean,
I like some of those other records that are nominated, but, I mean, it's a way better album than Bruno Mars, for God's sakes.
But I also like the fact that he didn't get nominated and should have been, because that's when he throws his fits.
Oh, that's true, and that's always fun.
I love that.
But Kanye is still the most nominated at the Grammys this year. He's up for 7, including he's competing against himself for the Best Rap Album of the Year for his own album and also for Watch the Throne with Jay-Z. He's also nominated for Song of the Year for All of the Lights and a bunch of other nominations. And we thought that might be a good opportunity to bring our old friend LL Cool May back into the studio. Lisa May is going to rap Kanye songs for you. All you have to do is tell us what the song is, and you'll win. What's this one called? Do we know?
Yeah. This is Lisa May, a.k.a. LL Cool May. And the rap game is my forte. Even got more skills than Kanye. Just guess these lyrics that I rap now. Just check my flow, you'll scream wow. You'll check the Grammys, boom, boom, pow. This is LL Cool May's house now.
Yeah! In the wood!
Let's just keep playing that.
Oh, my God. So, Lisa, we had so much fun with you rapping. Who were you rapping last time? Who were you doing?
I was rapping...
Dr. Dre!
Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre for Coachella tickets. And now you're back rapping Kanye West for Grammy tickets. You're going to be doing all Kanye songs here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and all people have to do is tell us what song it is. That sounds pretty easy. I mean,
it seems easy until you hear Lisa rap.
Well, it sounds just like it. I don't know what you're talking about.
Sure. All right, let's try Nina. She's on line one. She'll get us started here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, Nina.
Hello.
Hi, Nina.
Good luck. Lisa's going to rap a song. You have to just tell us which Kanye song it is. Here we go.
You know what the Midwest is, young and restless. We're restless. Might snatch a necklace. And next these, might jack your Lexus. Somebody tell these who Kanye West is.
That's Jesus Walks.
That is Jesus Walks.
See?
Oh, please, don't give yourself credit for that.
The Midwest is young and restless.
Wow, you do sound exactly like it. All right, Nina, hang on. You are in the drawing. Congratulations. Anna is up next. Line two. Anna, thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. You're the luckiest little girl in the world to be listening right now.
Okay.
Well, we'll see.
You'll do this, Anna. All right, here we go. She was supposed to buy you shorty, Tyka with your money. She went to the doctor, got lipo with your money. She walking around looking like Michael with your money. Should have got that insured, got Geico for your money. If you ain't no punk, holla, we want a prenup. We want a prenup, yeah.
Oh, snap,
He sure rhymed money with money a lot in that song.
Yeah, that was
sure.
A lot of money.
Sure is a pretty big song.
The Good Life.
No, I'm sorry.
No.
It's Gold Digger. Hey, Michael, with your money. Should have got that
insured Geico for your money. Money. All right, sorry.
All right.
Let's try Gabby, line 3. Hi, Gabby. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi.
How do you think Lisa is as a rapper?
She's awesome.
Right. Thank you, Gabby. All right. I'm living in the 21st century, doing something mean to it. Do it better than anybody you ever seen do it. Screams from the haters, got a nice ring to it. I guess every superhero needs his theme music.
You are not good. What is the name of that Kanye song? Come on now.
It's a big one.
These are all big ones.
Obviously, right?
That's yep. What How about said? A guess, Gabby?
Superman?
Sorry, that's Power. I guess every superhero need his theme music. All right.
Thanks for the call. All right, let's try Ivy. By the way, all girls calling for the
yeah,
Grammy tickets. What's up with that?
No, that's interesting.
Know. Hey, Ivy.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Did you know the others?
Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
Right. Okay. That's what I would say, too.
Yeah, me too. All right, here we go.
Restraining order. Can't see my daughter, her mother, brother, grandmother. Hate me in that order. Public visitation. We met at Borders. Told her she'd take me back. I'll be more supportive.
That was real good, Lisa. That was really good.
Ivy, name that Kanye song.
Can I hear it one more time?
No. Oh, my God.
You think I could do that the same way
kidding?
Twice?
Why would we do that to people? Seriously. They're
Plus,
barely hanging on now.
That was perfection. We need a guess.
Shoot. I don't know.
All the lights. Public visitation. We met at Borders. All right.
Running out of time here. Maybe one more, maybe two outside. Octavio
I'm
is
good
joining
with
us.
One more.
No, Octavio is on line 7.
Hi, Octavio.
Good morning.
All right.
Good luck.
Let's get lost tonight. You could be my black Kate Moss tonight. Play secretary. I'm the boss tonight. And you don't give a what they say, all right? Awesome. The Christian and Christian Dior damn, they don't make them like this anymore.
You've never heard that song in your life.
Yes, you have. You've heard it 100,000 times. It's just you that you don't remember it. Octavio?
Stronger?
What?
Stronger?
Yes.
Let's get lost tonight.
You could be my black Kate Moss. Nicely done.
All right. This is too good to not do one more time. Come on. Let's try Leanne, line 8. Leanne, our final contestant, and then we'll do a drawing for those who have been able to identify the Kanye song. You ready to play?
Yeah, I'm ready to go.
All right.
Good luck.
Now tell me that ain't insecure. The concept of school seems so secure. Sophomore 3 years and picking a career. She like, F it, I'll stay down here and do hair.
Wow.
Man, that was better than the original. let's say, I don't know, Superstar Show Off? Let's say Show Off.
Sorry, I'll fall down.
Tell me that ain't insecure.
Thanks for playing, though. All right,
who's you didn't get it.
Who's in the drawing here? I know Octavio is. I know Nina is. Is that it? Just those two?
Yep. It is just
All right,
those two.
Who's our winner?
Our winner is Nina, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah! Our first contestant, Nina.
What?
Congratulations and thanks for playing LL Cool May.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Welcome.
Yeah. This is Lisa May, a.k.a. LL Cool May. And the rap game is my forte. Even got more skills than Kanye.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q and it's 7:56.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Monday, the day after Super Bowl 46. Ralph, what did you think of the game last night? I think we've heard from you.
It was fine. It got exciting there at the end.
Right.
But for the majority, I thought it was kind of lackluster.
It
sort of boring.
It was kind of like you're just kind of hanging on, waiting for the last 5 minutes when all the good stuff was going to happen because it was really, we knew those two teams were that closely matched that it was going to end up being that kind of game. That's
yeah,
what we
whoever
expected.
Had the ball at the end, we thought pretty much would win. Exactly.
Got a lot of tweets and a lot of emails from people expecting to hear from Eli today, but I don't know, we're having trouble getting a hold of him because
he's probably
after,
celebrating. So. I don't know if he'll be able to talk to him.
Doing our best.
Super Bowl had an 81 share in Boston, by the way,
well,
on
sure.
television. People watching a 74 in New York. Those are, I mean, the Super Bowl is still the biggest television event of the year by far. There's
81%
no
of people in Boston are pissed.
Trust me, 100% of people in Boston are pissed. Only 81% were watching.
Exactly. All right, time for the Showbiz Beat. Now, here's Ralph.
While we're talking about the Super Bowl, riddle me this. When are you unhappy to be married to a supermodel?
When are you unhappy to be married to a
supermodel? Yeah, that's the riddle. What's the answer?
I don't know.
When you lose the Super Bowl? When you lose the game, maybe?
Yeah, that one. She won't shut her effing mouth.
Oh, are we still praying for Tommy?
No, we were praying for Tommy before the game. After the game, she was walking through the concourse and apparently was getting heckled by a bunch of Giants fans.
Nice.
Like
and
they do.
So stupidly, in front of several reporters,
she
wheels around and says the following to one of the hecklers. You effing have to catch the ball when you're supposed to catch the ball. My husband cannot effing throw the ball and catch the ball at the same time.
Oh,
I can't believe they dropped the ball so many times.
Wow.
Look, she's got a point, especially on that final drive. They about dropped the ball twice.
Doesn't matter if she's got a point or not.
I agree.
She can't say that.
I agree.
The wife of the quarterback can't say that.
I agree.
Everyone else can say it. The coach can say it. The reporters can say it. You can say it. The wife of the quarterback can't say it.
Yeah, there's that.
Oh, Tommy must be so upset today.
Poor Tommy.
Poor Tommy. As if he doesn't have enough to deal with. Now he's got his wife, supermodel wife, mouthing off to the press. It reminds me of Warner's wife. Remember her when she used to call into sports talk shows and support her husband? Nothing's more emasculating.
Yeah.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Plus, now you got the receivers that your quarterback's wife is now, you know, harassing you. And now they're mad.
Listen, Giselle, you're a supermodel, not a super talker. Just remember your place. That poor bastard. I'm telling you something. Yeah, I know she's smoking hot. I get that. But this guy pays for it every day of his life, I guarantee you. Every day there's some amount of S that he's got to eat in order to be married to her. She just seems like just a nutcracker.
Yeah, she does seem a little harsh. Oy.
Think she got him wearing Uggs? You think that was her doing?
Oh, of course. Come on. People very upset that MIA flipped the middle finger during the halftime show. A lot of people offended. A lot of family focus on the Family Value Coalition of America associations type organizations. Very upset. NBC's already fallen over themselves apologizing. We apologize for the inappropriate gesture that aired during halftime. Said an NBC spokesman. It was a spontaneous gesture that our delay system caught late.
Yeah.
Please don't hurt us.
Just, why can't they one time stand up and go, look, she flipped the bird. Fine. Deal with it. You'll live.
Well, I think NBC felt like, even though they don't do the show, it's the NFL that does the show. I think they felt like they were on the hook because they had been out all week long promising a family-friendly show. And don't worry, we're not going to have that problem. We had those a few years ago. You know.
MIA also appeared to sing the line, I don't give an F, although it was hard to hear clearly, but they're speculating she dropped the F-bomb, too. So.
Was everybody lip-syncing during that halftime show?
Yes.
And poorly, might I say.
Yeah, Madonna sure can lip-sync. Wasn't it Elton John who tweeted before the game, good luck on your lip-sync tonight?
Yeah.
Still firing shots across her bow. So I enjoyed that enormously. It is Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Here's what you got. Chronicle, number one, with $22 million. Close behind that was The Woman in Black, the new Daniel Radcliffe thriller, The Gray, Big Miracle. That's the whale movie, don't you know? Made $8.5 million, made it number four. Underworld Awakening was fifth. And then the rest of the top 10, One for the Money, Red Tails, The Descendants, Man on a Ledge, and Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close, rounding out the top 10. Today's celebrity birthdays, Chris Humphreys, New Jersey Jets forward, and the luckiest man in the world, no longer married to Kim Kardashian. 27 years old today.
Not the Jets, right? New Jersey Nets.
Oh, did I say Jets?
Yeah.
New Jersey Nets. Excuse me. Football in the brain. Alice Eve. She's out of my league fame and Entourage.
She certainly is.
That's the name of a movie she was in.
Oh, sorry.
30 years old today. Allison Hayslip is 31. Axl Rose of Guns N' Roses is 50. Robert Townsend turns 55. Tom Brokaw, 72. Zsa Zsa Gabor, still clinging.
to life at 95.
She could let go now.
She could let go. She would probably be happier. Just rest, Jaja. Just rest.
Close your eyes.
And Rick Astley. Superstar Rick Astley.
Never gonna give you up.
Uh-huh.
Never gonna let you down.
That's right.
Never gonna run around and desert you.
46 years old.
We, a few years ago, Ralph, I think it was before your time when we had the Wheel of Bad Ideas and it landed on What's Up with Rick Astley. And we picked up the phone and we dialed Mr. Astley at home in England.
And said, what's up?
And said, what's up with Rick Astley? And he was happily retired and very, very rich. I guess he had done well with his investments from the Never Gonna Give You Up money and seemed to be very comfortable and very happy.
Good for him.
Yeah, the answer was nothing. Just having money.
What was in his fridge? Did you ask him that?
We didn't ask. Didn't get to that, no.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Harvey Levin from TMZ.com joins us later this hour here on the Kevin Amin Show, and our friend Andrew Siciliano will be here from the NFL Network. We can talk all things Super Bowl coming up later, too. First, though, how about the Kevin Amin Afro Line on the air for you at 323-520-AFRO. Super Bowl weekend. I'm sure there were a lot of drunk people calling and leaving messages. What's going on today?
Well, I think some of these predated the weekend because it's just general hate now. I mean, basically just Kevin Amin, why are you not good?
You guys suck. Your interviews suck. You call these people and then you don't let them talk. You talk over them the whole time. Bring back Raimondo and the Blade.
That's a good suggestion.
I like it.
Look, we do the best we can. This is it.
Yep.
This is the best we can. I'm sorry. This guy starts making fun of me and then quickly transitions right into some Lisa game.
Oh, okay.
Mock me, throw me aside, see if he can make time with Lisa.
And what's the deal with those stupid buttons on crosswalks? They're not hooked up to anything. And Lisa, hey Lisa, so call me, holler, yo.
So, he didn't really have much to offer, did he?
Well, that's kind of her brand of R&B talk, rap talk. That's Lisa's speed. Here's another one.
Hi, Lisa. There's just been something that I've had on my chest that I need to get off. You know, I'll just say it. I've got nothing to lose, right? So, yeah, here it goes.
Nice.
Not bad.
Not bad, right? We got the people now calling for, would you like to take that back?
So I'm listening to the podcast for today's show, and I'm listening to the Showbiz Beat, and Ralph makes a reference to a Pace Picante sauce commercial from 380 years ago. I have one question for you, Ralph. Would you like to take that back? Would you, if you could, you would you be, but goddamn, take it back.
I like his version. It doesn't end in a question. Just pretty much yelling at him to take it back. This is a feature I'm not a fan of because I don't really like The Bachelor.
Mm-hmm.
But Ralph's hooked, and he keeps talking about The Bachelor, and I keep trying to stop it.
Actually, I think that a weekly Bachelor update is a fantastic idea, guys, because it would really piss off Kevin, and that humors me.
That humors him. I'm glad to hear that. Thank you.
Kevin, I'm going to name a star after you for Valentine's Day.
Very nice.
I was going to call it, I'm a longtime I fan, longtime I. What did you do?
Yeah.
Okay. Nice. This is going back a few years. This listener is requesting something we used to do.
Can you guys bring back Beat Kevin? That was my favorite part of the Kevin and Bean show. Can you beat Kevin? I'll be inclined to think not.
With such gusto, too. That was a great game. I enjoyed Beat Kevin, too, but I think when it comes right down to it, we transitioned into Lick Lisa, which I think is more fun for everybody.
Of course.
I would, as much as I enjoy watching Kevin get beaten, I really do enjoy seeing Lisa get licked even more.
Right, even more. So that's the problem, is that it's up against stiffer competition, so to speak.
Look how you said that.
What if Bean were to order food from KFC? What would that sound like?
Hello, this is Bean. I'd like to order some KFC, please. I'd like some thighs and some breasts and some drumsticks, yes. And I'd like it right quickly, please. I'm in the mood for some chicken.
I don't know what that's about.
That's a good impression is what that's about. 323-520-AFRO, 24 hours.
Tickets to see the Grammys in person every day this week on the Kevin and Bean Show in the 7 o'clock hour. Also tomorrow, comedian Kevin Nealon will be here later in the week from The Celebrity Apprentice, Adam Carolla, and from every other show on TV, Dr. Drew. That's coming up this week on the Kevin and Bean Show.
We're going to talk to Eli Manning in just a second. I don't know if you guys watched any of the pregame. for the Super Bowl. They had like 5 hours of pregame on it. And Bob Costas checked in with the Weather Channel guy to find out what the weather was going to be like, even though it is a covered football stadium. There's a roof on it. So right. The weather forecast is not necessary, probably.
For the latest on today's outlook, we turn to the Weather Channel's Jim Cantore. Jim.
Hey, Bob. Yeah, have the fans enjoyed this week? It's been absolutely stellar. Temperatures 10 to 20 degrees above what they should be. We've even topped off at 60 a couple of days this week. But even though that's going to be perfect, it's going to be even more perfect inside Lucas Oil Stadium. We control the air there at 72 to 75 degrees.
I guess when you have that much time to fill, you have to have a guy on to say, it's been spectacular, warm, and inside it's going to be perfect because it's controlled.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if this is what's going on, but maybe NBC owns the Weather Channel because they were doing everything
they could
to bring in all of the other channels. That's why they had a chef, on the set from Bravo talking about their...
Don't get me started.
They definitely wanted to promote all of their channels.
Yeah, so they had somebody on from every channel. I think we have Eli now, by the way, if we wanted to...
Oh, fantastic. The Super Bowl-winning quarterback of the Super Bowl-winning New York Giants, Eli Manning.
Hi!
Hi, Eli. Congratulations.
I'm Eli.
Yes, you are Eli.
I'm 1-0.
You're number 10.
I won the Puppy Bowl. I beat the Labrador Retriever.
No, it wasn't a Puppy Bowl. It was the actual Super Bowl. That's the game that you
won.
That's better.
Oh, the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Did you see the Avengers commercial?
I did see the Avengers commercial.
Iron Man and the Hulk are friends.
How did you see that?
I watched it on a sideline.
You have time to watch television during the game?
Did you see the fat dog who tried to lose weight so he could chase a Volkswagen?
I did see that commercial. How did you see that?
He's fat. I watched it on a sideline.
Eli, maybe
you
should...
And then Darth Vader comes and goes, he chokes that guy with the ugly face.
Right.
Eli, we had an email from one of our listeners who says she can no longer enjoy watching New York Giants games on television because every time she sees you in your oversized helmet, she thinks in her head, hi, I'm Eli.
Yay!
She says it's just ruined the game for her.
Hi, lady who wrote about my giant helmet.
So, finally, you should never have to answer the question again, are you an elite quarterback? At this point, your response should always be, suck it, I've won 2 Super Bowls, right?
No, I don't say bad words.
Well, you know what I mean. It's just it's insulting at this point for anyone to suggest that.
No, I don't say bad words.
Okay, all right.
But Peyton can lick my butt.
There you go. That's what I was waiting to hear.
Wait a minute.
I had 2. He had 1. Ow, my neck. Ow, ow.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Eli, I know that you guys were in the locker room during halftime, but did you get a chance to see any of Madonna or MIA and all of that going on out on the concert stage?
Yeah, I watched Madonna.
What?
I watched Madonna.
You watched Madonna. Okay, what'd you think?
Yeah, I didn't know she was a mummy. I didn't know mummies can dance and sing. It's like that movie where they attack the rock.
Yeah, mummy, you're right. It is like that. She seemed a little frail.
Yeah, and a little dried out.
Now,
he should have some Gatorade. That's what I drink.
Yes. Now, were you supposed to be paying attention to your coach in halftime? You were still watching the halftime of the Super Bowl?
Who's my coach? Ross Perot guy?
Tom Coughlin,
that
I think
is his... little guy with Ross Perot head?
Yeah, that's sort of him.
Yeah, he just said, go throw ball long.
Okay, that's it?
That's all
you need
he said
to know,
to me.
Huh?
I see.
And I said, come on, Manningham, grab it.
That was an unbelievable catch, wasn't it, Eli? I mean, seriously, that could have so easily gone out of bounds. That was incredible.
I know. I'm lucky.
Well, you also threw it in the right spot, too. You're also good. I think it's time for you to start getting some credit for that.
I'm really lucky, too.
Okay. Maybe a little bit of lucky, too.
Fumbled everywhere and kept getting the ball back.
That
Yay!
Is true. Every time you fumbled, your team got it back.
God likes me more than Tebow.
Eli, one more question, and that is, what are you going to do with that spiffy new convertible car you want as the MVP? Are you going to drive that thing?
I'm going to make it a planter.
What?
I'm going to plant flowers in it.
That's a beautiful new car. It's
brand
meant to be driven.
Car, yeah.
It's got a stick shift.
Right.
I can't drive stick shift.
Well, you can learn.
Too many parts.
You can learn. It's just a clutch.
Oh, you can't press all those pedals and move that thing all at the same time. Ow, my head hurts.
Oh, we don't want your head to
Ow.
Hurt. Okay, no. Just,
Ow.
You can plant plants in it.
Ah, I got a nosebleed.
Okay, we're going to let you go,
my brain
Eli.
My is broken.
Have a great off-season. Congratulations again.
Ow.
Thanks for tuning in to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Monday. Monday means a lot of things, including our friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, who joins us on the phone right now. Hey, Harvey, how was your Super Bowl yesterday, man?
It was good. You guys?
Good. Good.
Did you watch the whole game? Watch everything?
But the one thing I didn't watch, this is going to sound so stupid because we got into a big thing. I didn't watch the halftime show.
That's all right.
Because I boycotted Madonna. I can't watch her.
Really? Now this is interesting. How come?
Because she's just gotten so hoity-toity, and I mean, it's just this whole thing about, you know, oh my God, foreign films. I know foreign films.
Yes.
It's too much.
I'm with you.
You just want to scream at her, hey, you're from Michigan, stop with the fake accent and be a regular person.
I mean, and I just can't handle it.
Yeah, I hear you.
So
you missed nothing, by the way. To me, it was really, really just a placeholder. It was just a time waster, and there was nothing interesting about
it.
The
game was good.
The game was good, yeah.
I give Madonna – look, I'm not a huge Madonna fan. I give her more credit than that in that it was a halftime spectacle show with hundreds of extras and elaborate costumes and choreography and a big selection of popular songs. I mean, but it didn't move me. I wasn't touched by it. I mean, it kind of had all of the trappings of, hey, this should be really great, but it just didn't seem great to me. I can't put my finger on what my problem was with it. Maybe I'm just bored with Madonna. Maybe I would have been happier to see, you know, somebody 30 years younger who's a little fresher out there, perhaps.
That's what I'm thinking. Anyway.
Harvey, let's talk about one of the things you have on your site, which is the parents organization and NBC and MIA with the flipping them off.
I'll talk about that, but promise me we'll talk about Giselle, too. Okay?
Sure. Oh, of course.
I love this story.
I do, too.
Anyway, I mean, look, I just think this is ridiculous what's happened. A couple of things. So MIA flips off the camera during the halftime show. So the Parents Television Council, of course, is saying it's unfortunate, blah, blah, blah. So here's the thing, two things. One, why don't they have a 10-second delay?
I can't figure that out either.
Why wouldn't they just do a 10-second delay, number one? Number two, if I were drafting, and we're trying to find this out, if I were drafting the contract, the NBC contract with MIA and anybody else who's performing at the Super Bowl, I would make them sign an indemnification form saying that if they intentionally do something that is considered obscene or inappropriate for the Super Bowl, that they will pay all penalties associated with it and will not get paid for their performances. So I would assume that they were smart enough over at NBC, given what's happened in the past, that somebody's going to want to get this kind of attention, because of course MIA is getting this kind of attention because you're talking about it and everybody's talking about it, and mm-hmm. I would impose penalties if they did it.
I don't think that's a bad idea for NBC, the network, to protect itself because they've got a live show that they're doing. I don't disagree with you. Let me ask you this question, though. How offensive is flipping the bird in 2012? In the world we live in now, how low on the scale of offensive is that, Harvey?
No, I mean, it's low on the scale of offensive these days, but still, you know, look, why did MIA do it? Because MIA knew it was high enough that it was going to get noticed. So MIA, mission accomplished.
Yeah.
Right? And so clearly it's not that low because it got noticed and we're talking about it.
I guess. But to me, it's like the word damn at this point. Who hasn't heard it, used it, or who is left to be offended by it? This isn't, we're not living in 1900.
No, but
Bean's right. We're not living in 1900.
Very good, Bean. Very good.
All right, let's talk about Giselle. Let's get to that story. Because
love
I can,
this story.
I
so
do,
much.
Too.
This is the greatest. So Giselle, you know, who was sending emails to her family saying, pray for Tom. You know, Tom had an awesome game. The Giants made some mistakes. So she's in the private area, and you hear her afterwards saying, my husband cannot effing throw the ball and catch the ball at the same time, and I can't believe they dropped the ball so many times. I mean,
which is 100% correct.
Okay, then let me ask you something.
Yes.
See, I think this is really unfair. The Giants made some pretty big mistakes, too. Both teams made mistakes.
Agreed, but on the very last drive,
they dropped the ball on second down and third down.
But you know what happened?
Two
in the
passes
end zone?
In the last minute, Harvey. I
but
mean,
if the Patriots won, what happened in the end zone? They'd be going after the Giants for that. So every game has fumbles and mistakes.
Right.
And it's like they're looking for scapegoats at a point. I mean, yeah, I mean, it's true that they did have mistakes, but everybody does. And it's just weird. So we got in a big debate in the newsroom about this today because we put something up on the site saying, is Giselle a bitch for saying this? And most people think no. But the other side of it is that Tom Brady is really gracious about, you know, being part of a team and not right. being his own guy. And, you know, do you really want your wife?
Look, that's the point. No, the point is that I think she was correct, but she's the one person that shouldn't say it.
Yeah.
You don't want your wife out there going, hey, Tom can't do everything. People have to catch the passes, too, that he throws. He can't go catch it. I mean, yeah, okay, they drop some passes, but that's not who you want to hear that from.
And
at it, all.
Yet, like, two-thirds of the people on the website think what she did was awesome.
Really?
Yeah. Yep. Wow, really? They must not be sports fans, because that is not how it works in sports. Tom Brady handled it perfectly. Giselle handled it the exact opposite of that.
But all the guys in my office who are really into football all support Giselle.
Well, because, what she's saying is correct. However, again, I think if I'm Tom Brady, I don't want my girlfriend out there saying that. He handled it so much better than she did. I think there's a certain amount of you got to keep it to yourself if you're his girlfriend.
Well, there's another explanation.
Yes.
The other explanation is that if this were somebody who wasn't nearly as hot as Giselle, they'd all be ragging on her.
Probably.
You're probably right.
I forgot to take the she's really hot into account.
Right.
Hey, Harvey, before you go, only because we haven't mentioned it at all today, I'm curious what you guys in the newsroom thought about Kelly Clarkson's national anthem performance, which I thought was terrific, by the way. And also, did you notice, and I think she's lost a lot of weight, and I think she looks pretty good right now, but did you notice that NBC only shot her from the waist up? And I thought that was really weird.
You know what? I didn't notice that.
Maybe she was just wearing panties.
If you watch the tape, you will notice there is not one single full body shot of Kelly Clarkson. And I wondered if that was somehow some sort of a comment on, hey, she's fat. We don't want to show her.
You know what? You guys have just contributed to content on TMZ. Thank you very much.
All right. Check it out. Watch the tape and you'll
see.
Thank you
very much.
Except for the final shot that they shoot, you know, as the camera pulls away from the stadium. That's the only time you ever see her feet. I just thought it was so weird the way it was shot. Yeah, check out the video and see what you think. Harvey Levin, TMZ.com is the website, the entertainment website of record. Check your local listings for TMZ television. Thanks so much for coming on, Harvey. Have a great
week.
Guys.
Not a lot of people left around.
Mm-hmm. 106.7 K-Rock is KRQ. It's 5 minutes till 9. Yes, we have a moment with. I know Muggs. I want to set it up with letting people know that the rule is that you're not supposed to help me. If I get stuck, do not jump in and help me, because it makes for better moments with.
Lisa.
Obviously. Lisa. Yeah. Lisa was very, very, very bad, apparently. And where is it? Is it right there? Because that's not it right there. What you're showing me is not it.
It's right in rock.
Thank you. I think we had the wrong thing up. I was like, I don't know what I'm
doing. We almost had a moment with leading into the moment with.
So the point here is that Lisa helped me out, and listen to how angry Bean got.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
I love this so much. There's a name of a, what is it? What do you call it? A contest? What do they do with a...
A lottery?
Thank you.
A
lottery.
Lisa, God damn you!
Thank you.
That was a moment with Kevin.
Oh, furious Lisa. Again, oh, hearing so it one more time. Yeah, seriously,
it could have been one of the all-time greats.
I know.
I was,
and
not
you told
really,
you
really,
stole
really
it away
sorry.
From us. You're Wes Welker dropping the pass in the last minute.
And I'll be honest, I was not close to coming up with it.
No, did you hear him? He's like, it's the name of a contest.
Yeah. It's not like I had a lot on my tongue.
He was
and just
miles
needed,
away.
I was an hour away from getting that.
I think I need to go into protection or something. Yeah, witness should. Protection now.
By the way, I was angry. That wasn't me acting for radio. I legitimately was angry and still am. But wasn't I speaking for everybody listening to the radio? Because
yes,
when Kevin
yes.
starts to fumble,
come on.
You get close to the radio and you just hold your breath.
Why
you just wait for the magic.
It's
to
like
unfold.
It's like a breakaway. It's like a breakaway in hockey. When you see a pass go by and one guy gets it and he's skating down the ice all by himself towards the goalie.
Everything stops.
Everybody's holding their breath, waiting to see what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And Lisa just came along and just took the puck right up the stick.
All of you and the listeners to jump on me and Bean, who's not even here. But when Kevin looks at you with those eyes, I'm dying.
Well, he's not a puppy,
help
okay?
Me. He locked onto
Lisa,
my eyes.
I love
and
you.
I know. I'm just.
Avert your eyes. Just
I know
look
you don't
down.
Want me to help you either. I'm just saying.
I do
saying,
want you to help me. Honestly, I do.
But it was a brutal moment.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
I love this so much. There's a name of a what is it? What do you call it? A contest? What do they do with
a lottery?
Thank you, lottery.
Lisa, goddamn you!
Thank you.
That was a moment.
My description so far just had been contest. I didn't even know how to get lottery.
And there's
a
name of a. I don't even know if you were trying to find the name of a lottery.
I think I was talking about the town in Spain.
There's a name of a. What do you call a contest? What do they do?
And it's so weird because Kevin knew we were talking about the lottery. Yeah. I mean, it was his idea.
And I had a piece of paper in front of me with the word lottery on it.
All right. All right. What have we learned, Lisa? What's the valuable lesson you're taking away from today's show?
She's too nice.
When Kevin looks at you with his puppy dog eyes, you wave at him.
I wave at him.
That's what you do. Okay?
She'll never do that. Lisa could not do that.
We'll
it's becoming
see,
a recurring
mister.
Problem. Lisa's a bit of a recidivist when it comes to this.
Over and over again. Yeah.
She's too nice.
We need to put her in some kind of booth or something. We need to put a trash bag over
it
her head.
It is the opposite of what you feel like you should do. You see somebody panicking and whatever, you feel like you should step in and help them. Everyone does. But in this room, the rule is don't do that.
All right. Before I get the showbiz news, I do have some more passes to give away to the very special K-Rock advance screening of Wanderlust. Movies in theaters everywhere on Friday, February the 24th. If you'd like to see it before it comes out on Thursday, we have tickets to a very special advance screening. This is the comedy starring Paul Rudd and Jennifer Aniston. If you've seen the trailer, you know it looks very funny. They're a couple of unemployed Manhattanites who have to move. And so they stumble upon this alternative living option, it's called. It's like a commune where everyone's into free love and they sing Kumbaya with their guitars and they're nudists and it makes people very uncomfortable. And I crack up every time I see the trailer. Paul Rudd is talking to these people and like, so tell us about you. Where do you come from? He's like, can we do this at a later time? And they pull out and he's sitting on the toilet. Everyone's sitting on the floor in the bathroom staring at him. That makes me laugh out loud.
Paul Rudd is a great comic actor.
He is.
Hilarious. And this is the movie. I was surprised. This is the movie where Jennifer Aniston and Justin Theroux met and started dating and stuff.
Yeah.
I was stunned that they are still together now that the movie is finally coming out. I didn't think it would last this long.
Well, it's not out yet.
See what happens after it hits the screens.
Maybe that's when they'll call it quits. But good stuff. Top 10 movies at the box office. We do it every Monday morning. Chronicle came in at number one with $22 million. The Woman in Black, new Daniel Radcliffe thriller, $21 million. Right behind Chronicle made it number two. The Gray, Big Miracle.
Those whales will never get out. If they don't cut the ice, everyone in the town has to cut the ice.
God damn, she's awful. How was that, Lisa?
I didn't see it.
What? It seems like it's your kind of movie.
Yep. Didn't go.
That was fourth at the box office with $8.5 million. Underworld Awakening was fifth. Then One for the Money, Red Tails, The Descendants, Man on a Ledge, and Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close, rounding out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. A couple sad stories over the weekend. Legendary actor Ben Gazzara passed away at the age of 81 this weekend. Died of pancreatic cancer. He had his own series, very popular series in the 60s, late 50s, 60s, called Run for Your Life. But probably best known, at least by me, and probably by you, as the bad guy in Roadhouse. He was the guy who ran the town, remember? Lived across the lake from Patrick Swayze.
Sure.
Oh, so good.
Classic.
So good. Yeah, he passed away. And also Zalman King, producer, gave us 9.5 weeks, another softcore porn has passed away as well, so that's sad news. David Hasselhoff tweeted a picture of himself in Sydney, Australia, down on one knee proposing to his girlfriend, Haley Roberts.
Is that just before she ran?
Well, here's the thing. He's reportedly proposed to her at least 5 times with no success. She hasn't said yes. Yeah. So he tweeted that picture, and then he was asked about it over the weekend. He said, the truth is I'm having a fantastic time with this lovely lady. But at the time, we have no plans to marry. I guess she turned him down again.
She turned him down again. How many times do you have to get turned down as a guy before you finally stop asking?
Well, we did a story last week. Anne Heche's boyfriend's asked her like 7 times. And has given her a ring every time, by the way.
No
kidding. And she's taken the ring.
What?
She says, I have quite a collection of engagement rings. But I'm not a big fan of marriage.
Wow, she has to turn down the ring if she's turning down the marriage.
That's what I say.
That's weird.
That is weird. So Hasselhoff apparently having a
a fantastic time with his lovely lady.
Yeah.
But they're not getting married anytime soon.
Why would he tweet a photo of another rejection, though? That's what I don't understand. Why call attention to the fact that she keeps saying no? Why, don't you just keep that private until she says yes?
I have three words as an explanation. Glug, glug, glug. Today's celebrity birthdays, Chris Humphries, former Mr. Porn Star Kim Kardashian. 27 years old today.
You don't think I feel bad?
Nope, I don't.
By the way, my wife watches that show, and I guess the final one was on last
night. Yeah, the big season finale.
Watching a few. And they really did go back and add a bunch of, I don't know, I think things are on the rocks.
Jeez.
A lot of that.
He wants to ship all his clothing here, but I said no, bitch.
Just to try and make it make sense, because they had split up before they had finished shooting the season, and then they split up.
Right, they had to go back and touch on it. But the thing is, that means she had a chance to think about what she was going to say and how she could put herself in the best possible light.
Yes.
And in that clip, she still says, he contacted me, he wanted to ship all his stuff out here, and I said, no, we just don't have room. It's like, it's your husband. Before she starts crying, she actually says that out loud.
Oh,
she's magical.
She is.
Actress Alice Eve, who is smoking hot.
Also magical.
And very talented. She's 30 years old. Allison Hayslip turns 31. Axl Rose of Guns N' Roses is 50. Rick Astley turns 46 years old today. Robert Townsend, actor and director from Harlem Shuffle and Parenthood, he is 55 years old. Tom Brokaw, 72. And actress Zsa Zsa Gabor. Oh, Zsa Zsa. She's 95 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
From the 49. Brady. Barring a defensive foul, the game ends here to the end zone. Hernandez is there. And batted. Gronkowski can't get it. Incomplete. And the New York Giants, given the last rites by many in December, are the Super Bowl champs in February.
That's the way it went down. Super Bowl 46 in the history books yesterday in Indianapolis. Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network and DirecTV's Red Zone channel joins us in the studio. Andrew, you spent a whole week in Indiana. How'd that go?
I survived a zip line as well, wearing a suit James Bond style.
That looked cool.
That zip line was pretty
awesome.
Cool.
I'm actually not a zip line guy at all, but that was awesome.
Chris Carter
chickened out, I think.
What? Oh, really?
Well, like every media celeb in town decided to do it just for their stupid, you know, hey, YouTube, woo. But there's a video that King of Mexico was showing me where Chris Carter of ESPN got up there and then refused to do it.
I'm not going.
Indianapolis, which was not the sexiest choice to host a Super Bowl, and there were a lot of people who were, you know, disappointed and said, I'll pass on this one, by all accounts is getting high marks for not only unusually warm weather for this time of year, but also for a great hosting event, right? People like really had a good time this year.
It will get another Super Bowl. It may take 8, 9, 10 years. Will get another one. I've said for years, on and off the air, that Indianapolis should be the permanent home of the Final Four. Because they have all their downtown hotels. You don't have to walk outside. They have these skyways connecting, much like Minneapolis, if you've ever been there. The hotels, the convention center, the mall, everything like that. And it's the home of the NCAA as well. Now, this is five times bigger than that.
Right.
But everything is downtown, and everything is walking distance. And they have so much. Look, do they have 5,000 first-class restaurants downtown? No, they don't. They have a couple of really nice restaurants, and the people are through the roof. Friendly. I don't know if they're going to go back to being jerks tomorrow, but for the 8 days they were through the roof friendly. The fans are all wearing jerseys. I mean, Monday, you can't walk through the streets without 5,000 Peyton Manning jerseys surrounding you. They cared so much. They put on such a good show.
How many Peyton Manning jerseys were there at the end of the week?
They wear them all. And here's the other thing, too, with them. They not only wear the Peyton Manning jerseys, they wear the jerseys for, like, Jeff Saturday, for those who don't know, who's, like, the center. You know, big, fat, white, bearded guy, like, 38 years old. They wear his jersey. They wear everything. They are in to their team, and they cared, and they put on an amazing show.
Now, this sounds simplistic, but I'm guessing it's true. The reason the crowd was so pro-New York is because all the locals root for Eli because of the Peyton connection. Is that right?
There's that, and they also, I think, were rooting against the Patriots because they are Colts fans and don't want to see Tom Brady and the Patriots winning. And the Giants that said sense. That when they got into town. They said on Monday, listen, we know it's going to be our crowd because we're hoping, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, all of you people out here in Indy will root for us. Now, there aren't a lot of locals actually in the building. I mean, it's such a corporate event, and all the fans come in for the two teams. But those fans that were local were definitely going Giants.
You didn't see a lot of there have to be some Patriots fans, some well-heeled Patriots fans who made the trip, but it sure seemed like even the people from out of town were New Yorkers.
Well, two things.
Like a lot more of them came to town.
Remember, this is the fifth time, too, for the Patriots in the last decade. Yeah. 11 years, whatever it is. So, you know, they after a while, you say, okay, how much money am I spending to do it every year? And the New Yorkers, the Giants weren't supposed to be here.
Yeah, they weren't supposed to.
I can't emphasize that enough. This is, statistically, this is the first time a 9-win team has ever won the Super Bowl. Now, there was a 9-win team years ago in a 14-game schedule, but in a 16-game schedule, This is a 9-7 team that lost to the Redskins twice.
Yep.
That lost to the Seahawks, at home.
Yep.
And they had to win Week 17 on the final regular season game of the year, that NBC game in the rain on Sunday night, to even make the playoffs.
Yep.
This is like the Cardinals getting into the World Series. Remember, they backed in on the last day of the season and ended up winning it all. I mean, that's what's amazing about sports is anything can happen. All right, rank these three events for me that all happened this weekend in order of importance. Super Bowl 46.
Okay.
Puppy Bowl. I think it was Puppy Bowl 8.
I don't know. What is that? I saw that on Twitter last
night. Don't ask.
What
is
that?
They put cameras on puppies and you watch it.
Seen the Puppy Bowl on the Animal Planet? Are you kidding
me?
It's
little puppies? I've never seen the Puppy Bowl. Is that like the Butt Bowl years ago with Beavis and Butthead?
Sort
Remember
of.
That? Okay.
And then the DirecTV Celebrity Beach Bowl. Which of those three is the most impressive, you think?
It's clearly a tie between the Super Bowl and the DirecTV Celebrity Beach Bowl. And the puppies, to have the puppies. I love puppies, but sorry,
you did the Beach Bowl again this year?
In 3D. So I got to interview Kate Upton in 3D.
Oh, Kate Upton's our favorite, Andrew.
The journalistic highlight of my career.
how is she in person? She's just a dog, right? In person?
She was great in 3D. She was fantastic.
Some girls are made for 3D.
Is made for 3D.
Let's see what kind of a journalist this is. I know what our interview with Kate Upton would have sounded like. Hey, do you like pasta? What was your interview like?
First of all, are you kidding? I like peanut butter too.
That would have been ours. Really? I'm in room 1004 at the Westin. Really? Really? You're in 10. My interview has to go something like, have you ever played football before? Are you going to go out there and try to catch it? Do you want to play, you know, isn't it going to be fun to catch a pass from Joe Montana? Do you know who Joe Montana is?
Right.
You know, something like that. That's
you didn't ask her what it's like to be so hot?
No.
I'm not that guy.
To be so hot?
We're both that guy.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it true I'm old enough to be your dad?
Don't say that.
What does that mean?
Yeah. No, that hurts.
Why am I pounding on the desk?
See, I don't know. I don't know why you're doing any of it. But you're making me angry.
I'll say this. Kate Upton off the air, hanging on the sidelines. Just as cool as Kate Upton.
Fantastic.
On the air.
That's what we figured.
That's all I care about, actually. Cool. Terrell Owens in 3D says to me, as he looks down at me as we're talking, are you taller in 3D?
Nice.
Yeah.
I sensed that he wasn't kidding, by the way.
No, he wasn't kidding.
Andrew Siciliano is here from the NFL Total Access show on the network again this afternoon at 4, I would assume, with a complete breakdown.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I would imagine. We're going to take a break when we come back. We've barely talked about the game and some of the coaching decisions. It's been called the ballsiest move by a coach in Super Bowl history to allow that score. I'm curious to hear what you think about it. We'll talk about that and so much more with Andrew Siciliano right after this on the Kevin Beach. From NFL Total Access, our friend Andrew Siciliano in studio with us, wrapping up comments on Super Bowl 46 yesterday. So let's go back to 57 seconds left in the game.
Ad, right? Which one?
The Fiat ad with the Victoria's Secret model? Yeah.
I'm sorry. 57
seconds left in the game. You've got New York basically, you know, just trying to burn up the clock and get some sort of score. You're Bill Belichick. You decide to part the Red Sea and let the Giants score a touchdown. How come?
All right. It is one of the more debated scenarios ever. Not just in this game, but in general, week in, week out.
Even in a regular season game, that would be a crazy move.
But it's the move that your average fan will always say, why don't you just let them score? They say it all the time. Wait a minute. We're never going to get the ball back. Let them score. I'd rather have the ball back with 45 seconds left or a minute left than the ball back with 2 seconds left.
Yeah, it makes sense. But to let another team score is seems like it goes so contrary to everything that you've ever been taught.
And that's why coaches don't do it. Because how do you look at your team and say, let them score? We're giving up.
Who was the running back? What was that guy's name?
His name is Ahmad Bradshaw.
His ass just carried him right in. I think he tried to stop, but his ass was just like, nope, I'm going into the end zone.
That's the whole thing that doesn't make sense either. So you eventually do, you say, okay, we're going to let him score. Bradshaw clearly had been told,
don't score, fall down.
Now, he said afterwards that Coughlin, the coach, didn't tell him to do that, but that Eli, as the Red Sea parted, Eli Manning, the Giants quarterback, was yelling, go down, stop. So he heard him, he stopped, but then he claims his momentum carried him in. If you look at it, though, it looks more as if he stopped and then said, no, I can't do this. I gotta go in and score.
Here's the call. You can listen to Al Michaels as surprised as anybody. He's up in the booth for NBC.
Second and goal. And Bradshaw, he wanted to stop. He wanted to stop, and he gets into the end zone. That's exactly what New England was doing. They were letting him go into the end zone. And Bradshaw had such a big hole, and he's trying to fall down at the 1 yard line, but at least he gets into the end zone. And at the end of this sequence, the Patriots are still going to need a touchdown and not a field goal.
So, and that's what I was thinking at the time. And it makes sense if you say they would have only had 2 seconds left on the clock. That didn't even give you enough time to go far enough down the field to be in field goal range. Because by letting him score, now they force themselves to need a touchdown, not just a three.
All right, go back a couple of weeks ago when the Niners beat the Saints.
Yes.
All right, this is the semifinals to get to the conference championship game. Alex Smith, the 49ers quarterback, had that 30-yard run around left end, that play that no one saw coming.
Right.
He high-stepped down the sideline. He held the ball up. And the Niners eventually won that game. But after a trade of scores at that point, right, Drew Brees then marched the Saints back down the field. Everyone and their uncle in San Francisco said Alex Smith should have ran out of bounds on the 1 yard line. Same logic here. Don't score, milk the clock.
Don't give them too much time.
But you can't. You can't do that. It goes contrary to everything.
By the way,
that's in your being.
I don't like Bill Belichick. I think he's a horrible human being. He's miserable no matter what. But
why do you think he's a horrible human being?
He seems like he is. He just seems like
he's
always
humorless on camera.
He's a dick.
I can't.
You can tell he's a dick.
I'll say this,
but anyway,
I'm not lying.
Anyway,
my interactions have been great with the guy. But keep going.
But let me finish my. I respect him totally for that move because that's a baller move. That's like, go ahead, score. We'll get the ball back with 57 seconds, and we're going to come back and beat you anyway.
Exactly.
That's a pretty strong move.
Exactly.
All right, let's pick it up from then. So now the Patriots have the ball, and second down and third down, Brady's receivers both drop them. Were they catchable balls, Andrew? Should they have been able to make those?
The second one, Aaron Hernandez, absolutely.
100%.
100%.
That was the easiest catch of the day for him.
The first one, the Deion Branch one over the middle, slightly behind him. It was through some traffic. It might have been tipped. Still should have been caught. He had some room to run as well.
He catches those most of the time,
he
too.
He does. I mean, his view is partially obscured. The one that's going to be dissected 100 times, and I think we're going to do it on the show tonight, was the previous possession.
Oh,
it was where Tom Brady to Wes Welker down the left side in the seam and to the left. You know, Wes Welker, number 83, little guy. That's the one where you saw the reaction on the Patriots sideline about 5 minutes remaining. They all had their heads down.
Yes.
If Welker had caught that ball, and he is as sure-handed a guy as there is in football.
He's the 100 out of 100.
He's the 100 out of 100 guy. If he had caught that ball, the Patriots win the game. They milk the clock. They win the game. They're up 17-15. There's a debate right now, and it started last night, and it's still going. Was that a bad throw, or was that a bad drop? I maintain Brady threw it behind Welker.
Oh,
it
please.
Was against his momentum.
So
now,
what?
He normally catches that ball.
He needs
However,
to catch that ball.
It
He's
is,
in the Super Bowl.
If he makes that catch, it is viewed as a twisting, acrobatic catch for the ages. But when you look at it again, you say, oh, I should have gotten that ball.
Yeah.
But look at it. Look, he's It's hard for me to do here.
Hey, look, it wasn't a perfect throw.
Right, he's got to twist his body back, catch it over his off shoulder as his body is twisting. Then if he does get it up here on his right shoulder, he's got to twist, hit the ground, and maintain possession. He probably could have and should have. He often does. He's not 6'7", though. He's not Rob Gronkowski.
It's hard to fault him for
missing. He's a little dude.
All right, I agree.
It's hard to fault him, but we're going to do that tonight.
The Hail Mary pass to end the game very nearly could have been caught, right?
As Kevin said earlier, if
Gronkowski had been healthy, he thinks he would have caught
it. Let me ask you that, because to me, Gronkowski had a horrible ankle, shouldn't have even been playing. He was out there. He was the one that almost caught it after it was tipped up in the air. And I think if he's healthy, he's down there a little sooner.
Maybe.
And he makes that catch.
If you make the argument...
that game win is over.
If you make the argument that he's down there sooner, then yes.
I think so.
Then yes. If you make the argument that the ankle would have given him enough spring to leap for that deflected ball, I'd probably disagree.
No, but I think he would have been closer to...
He may have been.
Yeah, that's
all. He may have been. And that would have then been...
the best ending of a Super Bowl ever.
Ever, yeah.
Of an NFL game ever.
Yeah, this is absurd.
I mean, it was a crazy Hail Mary that went to a lot of guys who were all jumping up in the air to try to catch it, and none of them came down with it, but it could have just as easily, you know, if it had been a few inches higher or faster or lower or somebody had been moved. I mean, it could have ended so differently.
And the headline is my partner, Kara Hernandez, that's a running joke. Kara Henderson. that's an inside joke. Kara Henderson said last night via text, you know, this is Robert Kraft's wife died.
Yes.
August. Myra Kraft. That's the MHK.
That's the owner of the Patriots.
Right. Yes. Decal on the Patriots uniforms. The headline would have been, joking aside, Hail Myra. That's what the headline would have been in the Boston Globe on Monday morning if they had caught that. Alas, they did not.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, we are out of time. There's so many more angles to this great Super Bowl to talk about, and you'll be doing all of that on the NFL Network this afternoon at 4. Now, does this mean we don't see you again for a while, sis, or what happens?
I don't want to
say goodbye to our man.
You know, I mean, in exchange for...
not till football.
I don't know, something.
I don't think till football.
I don't know. Is there a good concert coming up anytime soon?
And we're going to have a few, yeah.
All right.
Not till football.
Send me to Spain. Send me to Spain for the Coldplay thing for a weekend. I'll do that.
We'll see you soon, I'm sure. Thank you.
All right, guys.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. How many times do you have to propose to somebody before you take a no for an answer?
Yeah.
Well, it's not too many, I hope.
Six, seven.
It's getting embarrassing for the Hoff.
Eight. Hasselhoff did it again and put it up on YouTube.
That's embarrassing.
What's the point of that?
And why would you put
being turned down
on YouTube?
I don't know. Comedian Kevin Nealon in the studio tomorrow, and we've got in the 7 o'clock hours your Grammy tickets. So make sure and tune in for those tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show.